using free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Friday the 5th of November, year of our Lord 2021, day 599 of America Held Hostage. And Big Brother has just come out with a new timeline and some new orders. We're going to be taking a look at the Biden orders coming through OSHA. Let me tell you, they're saying that it is an ETS, meaning emergency and temporary. It is an emergency, and it is time for all hands to be on deck. And let me tell you, this is not temporary. It will not go away. They're already talking about how they can extend it and how they can make it permanent. And, of course, if it's an emergency, they wouldn't be waiting another 2 months, would they? We'll be right back. Stay with us. Well, there is much to see in this emergency order, and a lot that has not been seen yet because this has been dropped. It is 490 pages long, so I can't claim that I have read the entire thing. I can read a book in an evening, but I can't read a technical legal document and get all that. This is one of the reasons why these bills that land that are several thousand pages and they give them 24 hours to look through it. Even though these people are lawyers, even though they got staff, they can't possibly look at that and find everything that's in it. They don't even care. So we don't exactly know everything that is in it, but we know enough to oppose every bit of this with every bit of our fiber. Let me just tell you, first of all, this is not an emergency. This is going to, they've extended it, as a matter of fact. And think about this. If it's an emergency, you don't wait 2 months and then negotiate things behind closed doors with big corporations, with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and that type of thing. If it's an emergency, there is no negotiation. If there's an emergency, you do it right away. He made this announcement at the beginning of September, and they played around, you know, talking about what they can do here and what they can do there. And then when they come out, they say, all right, we were going to do it December the 8th. Because, you know, even then, that wasn't an emergency. That was going to be another 3 months later. You don't, if it's an emergency, wait 3 months to do something about it. And perhaps they will. Perhaps when we are attacked here in the United States, maybe they'll wait 3 months to do anything about it, right? If this was a pandemic, if this was a legitimate threat, you would have not waited 3 months. But no, wait, it's more. They're going to wait another month. They're going to go to January the 4th. Why would they do that? Well, they want to make sure they've gone through all the different holidays, right? Don't want to do it and mess up Festivus or Kwanzaa or Christmas or New Year's. Don't want to mess those up. That could really put a kink in what the businesses that are lobbying OSHA wanted to do. They make a lot of money off of those holidays, don't they? And they don't want to have that messed up. Besides, it'd be a real damper, wouldn't it? And so they've decided, like they did in the UK and Europe last year, they said, we're going to not lock this stuff down until after Christmas. And I said at the time, I said, what's this about? You don't do that if it's an emergency. You don't wait several months. I said that this summer when Emmanuel Macron said, well, you know, by September, we're going to start putting in this vaccine passport thing because, you know, this is an emergency. So we're going to wait another 2 months before we do something. No, you do it right then, if it were an emergency. It is not an emergency. Here's more evidence.
Mask getting very close to the face.
Look at this.
Right now.
Does this look like a pandemic right emergency?
How can they square this behavior with their demands that the rest of us plebes cover our faces and the faces of our children?
Well, they obviously can't, Tucker. Yeah. And I think what the president probably knows, what he's ever admitted.
It's a fraud. It's not a pandemic. It's a plan. And it goes on and on.
And then
we have this episode here that happened just in the last week or so.
Why, thank you.
This is Don Lemon, and this is a woman trolling him. Don Lemon is there in Florida.
Yeah, it's Halloween today, right?
On Halloween, yeah, not wearing a mask.
That's okay. Well, I want to thank you. No, thank you so much. And you're in the great state of Florida. I hope you guys enjoy it.
And so he gets up as he's being filmed and quietly walks away. Yeah. So, you know, who would have thought in the world that we live in now that people run away from you if you point out that on Halloween they're not wearing a mask? Of course, it's about something completely different. Look, CNN doesn't believe it. Lemon doesn't believe it. Biden doesn't believe it. Why are we pretending that there's anything going on here? It's one of the things that bothers me in the back and forth between Rand Paul and Fauci. Let's move on from this pandemic nonsense. Let's move on from Wuhan. Let's talk about this. And, of course, Rand Paul has mentioned some of that. He seems to focus, however, strictly on people with natural immunity being forced to get vaccines. Nobody should be forced to get vaccines. He should have opposed the crony capitalist dumping of tens of billions of dollars, helicopter cash for Pfizer, for Moderna, for Johnson & Johnson. He should have opposed that under Trump. And if you're a libertarian, you should oppose that. If you want limited government, you should oppose that. You should oppose all of this. You need to oppose it not just on pragmatic basis, saying, well, anybody who's had this has got natural immunity, so we need to put that in there. No, you need to oppose this on the principle, the broad principle, that nobody should be coerced into taking medication. We need to shut down the FDA. So I've been saying for years that if you've got an agency that can tell you that you can't take a natural substance like medical marijuana, for example, or pick it. You know, we had a fight back in the mid-90s. I think it was 1995, 1996, that the FDA was making moves to try to stop all vitamin supplements. They didn't want you to be able to get vitamin C. They said, we're not going to allow things like vitamin C to be sold in concentrations that are bigger than the recommended daily allowance. Where'd you come up with that? That's just arbitrary. It's nonsense. It's like the 6 feet spacing, that type of thing. And so there was a fight at that point in time. I remember we had Orrin Hatch, who was, there was a lot of vitamin manufacturers in Utah. And so Orrin Hatch took that because of practical standpoints. That's fine. We'll take people fighting for our freedom for whatever their selfish reasons are. But he opposed it because of the industries that were there in Utah. And we had, there was a libertarian convention in Salt Lake City that I went to. And he spoke at it. And a lot of the people were like, oh, why are you letting Orrin Hatch? Look at all the things he's done with this and with that are statist and authoritarian. It's like, look, he's against this FDA prohibiting vitamins. That's very important. And so we need to uphold him when he's doing that thing, for that thing, only for that thing. And so I appreciate the fact that Rand Paul is opposing vaccine mandates for people who have natural immunity. But come on, this is much, much bigger than that. We don't want to make this, as one pilot who has lost his job in Canada, he says, yeah, I even tell people, let's not make it so much about the vaccine. This is really about a liberty issue. This is about the rule of law, whether we're going to live in a dictatorship. That's the broader issue here. It's a much broader issue. I want to tell people about this injection. Because I understand that, you know, the bigger issue that they have is depopulation. I understand just how dangerous this is. And as I said before, I cannot remain silent if I see a speeding semi heading down the road and somebody is about to step off the curb in front of it. I cannot in good conscience be quiet about that. It would make more sense to argue this strictly from a legal standpoint, from a liberty standpoint. But I cannot be silent about how dangerous this stuff is. But let's take a look at not only the fact that they're saying, well, we're not, you know, they've proven that they don't believe that it's an emergency. But they're using this ETS, this emergency temporary forget what the S stands for, but, you know, that's the baloney behind it. They're using that even as OSHA is soliciting advice from people about how they can extend this to every business, even those with less than 100 employees, and how they can make it permanent, not temporary. They want to extend this to everybody. And I'll get back to this in a moment, but I just want to say before we go any further in this, this is the party that was trying to rise to power by saying, we're going to raise minimum wage. We're going to fight for 15. And I don't support minimum wage in for pragmatic reasons. I think that what happens is when you raise the prices arbitrarily, mandate that everybody gets a raise, all you're doing is mandating inflation. Businesses will and must increase their the prices on their goods. It's just for the same reason that you can't really tax a corporation. You can't raise minimum wages without devaluing the dollar. Everything will raise, will rise, and it'll just create a wave of inflation that will eventually wipe that out. But this is the Democrat Party, and they wanted everybody to get a raise, they said. And they were going to force everybody to get a raise, and they were going to fight for 15. Well, guess what? Part of this that has been negotiated now with the businesses is to allow the businesses to charge the employees for the weekly test in case you don't get vaccinated. The weekly test, folks, costs $150. That's $600 a month they're going to take out of your paycheck if you don't get vaccinated. $600 a month taken out of your paycheck. This thing rammed up your nose that we have seen leaves spikes behind for some reason. You know, you have to look at this and say, why didn't they just use cotton swabs? No. We have a very unique thing that we use in your nose. And you've seen the pictures of people. I've shown you the video of people taking those and putting them under a microscope. You can see all the different bristles coming out. You can look at them left behind embedded in meat if they just drag it across the meat. That's what they want to jam up your nose once a week and charge you $150. So that's $600 a month that they're going to dock your pay. But let's look at it on an hourly basis. If you work 160 hours in the month, that's 40-hour weeks, just the test alone would dock your pay by $3.75 an hour. That's what Biden wants to do. He wants to punish you by deducting $3.75 per hour. And so I agree with Michael Snyder that these people who are out there saying, oh, you know, talking heads are all wrong about why the Democrats lost in Virginia. You got James Carville out there saying, it's all these people who, it's all this woke stuff. You know, James Carville, he came out of the woodwork again for this stuff. What? That guy is kind of dark comedic relief. But you remember, he was running the Clinton campaign, and back in 1992, he said, it's the economy, stupid. But he doesn't understand it's the economy this time. If you're going to take people's jobs, if you're going to dock their pay $3.75 an hour, don't expect them to take this and just naively continue to vote for you. As he points out, Michael Snyder says, Joe Biden made a catastrophic political error when he went after the people's jobs. And now he's going after their pay. He's either going to take your job, or he's going to, I mean, you're talking about people who are on minimum wage. He's going to dock about 25% of your pay or more, because not everybody is making, I don't know what the minimum wage is everywhere, but it's less than $15 an hour. He's going to take 25% or more of these people's pay. So he says, countless Americans, Michael Snyder, have already lost jobs due to various mandates, and about 80 million American workers will be covered by the big OSHA mandate. That's right. You know, it was Ronald Reagan who said when he was running against Jimmy Carter, the previous worst president, probably, in terms of economics, he said, a recession is when your neighbor loses his job. A depression is when you lose your job. Now, that's what Reagan said when he was running against Carter. I would wonder what it is when the president decides that he's going to get you and your neighbor fired. What do we call that? Is that a recession? Is that a depression? Maybe it's a great reset, huh? Is that what we call it? It's absolutely unbelievable what is being done. But let's understand that this is not what's even worse about this. Is it's not just Biden. Because, see, this began under Trump. You know, under Trump, we were told that middle class and Main Street businesses were not essential. And so he put them out of business. He put them out of business with his lockdown. And then towards the very end, when the CDC came out and put a moratorium eviction on foreclosures and evictions, what he did was he attacked the middle class property owners. So last year they were coming after the small businesses. And I know you didn't do anything about it because you didn't have a small business. And because, you know, it was Trump, it couldn't be Trump coming after them, right? So you kept quiet. And then they came after the middle class landowners. And we didn't do anything about that because, you know, I didn't rent anything out to anybody. And besides, it's Trump. It's not, you know, it's okay. He's there. And now Biden is coming after each and every one of us for our jobs. And that's what he's doing. He's coming after each and every one of us. But it's gradual. As Fauci said, it's going to be disruptive. It's going to be from the inside. And it's going to be iterative. It's going to be a process of steps. And that's what we're seeing now. You notice how they just keep on adding more and more steps. And again, another aspect of the fact that this is not an emergency is the fact that when I was talking about the vaccine mandates for children yesterday, and there are vaccine mandates already for children, but making it available to them, for the most part, it's not been mandated for them yet, but it will be because, again, going back to May of 2019, Trump helped to set the precedent in cooperation with those bad governors in New York and California that you don't get any medical or religious exemptions from even the MMR vaccine. They didn't claim that everybody in the world was dying from measles. That's their claim now. It's ludicrous, but they're claiming that now. They didn't claim that with measles, but they used Trump and alarmism to mandate the MMR vaccines and to take away medical and religious exemptions at that time for children in school. So they will be coming after the children. But as I was talking about this yesterday, I said, you notice that as they're talking about the children, they even mention in their own articles, they say, well, you know, we might ask, said some of the doctors quoted by CNN, we might ask, why is it being done now when the cases are plateauing or severely declining? Why are we doing that? Especially because kids don't have any risk from this. Oh, well, don't worry, you know, because we just have to be extra cautious. And we got to make sure it doesn't come back up again. It's all preventative. Well, it's not an emergency then, is it? Again, the authorization for all these vaccines, you know, for, especially for the kids, it's an emergency. Emergency authorization. These mandates are because of an emergency. It's not an emergency, especially not for the kids. They don't have any risk from this. But if it were an emergency, why would they be waiting yet another 2 months? So a lot of people are talking about how this is going to have political consequences for them, but they're betting on something else, aren't they? They're betting on taking us down. I don't know. Will we have an election in 2 years? Will there be a country in 2 years? What are they getting ready to do? Maybe they figure that if they can lock us up, we won't be voting against them anyway, right? CNN, vaccine rule for larger employees and federal contractors and certain healthcare workers to take effect January the 4th. Not only are they waiting until just after Christmas, but he got right up to just doing it on the anniversary of January the 6th, didn't he? I guess it's his little insurrection. So Biden says, too many people remain unvaccinated for us to get out of this pandemic for good. So I instituted requirements, and they're working, he said. When he talks about this, he doesn't use the term herd immunity. None of them use the term herd immunity anymore. They don't want to remind you of their blatant lies. Oh, well, you know, we get the 70%, 75, 80, I don't know, but yeah, I can't imagine it being any more than 85%. Well, no, now it's 90, 95, 98, 99, 100 is all that we will tolerate. Biden said, quote, there have been no mass firings and no worker shortages because of vaccine requirements. See, just like the mainstream media, these people can lie to, like Fauci. It doesn't matter. I mean, you can catch these people with a smoking gun, you know, like Alec Baldwin. He goes, I didn't do it. It's not me. Yeah, he says it's good for the economy, said an official with the Biden administration. The January 4th deadline also means a deadline for federal contractor vaccine requirements is getting pushed back. It had previously been scheduled to take effect on December the 8th, which was 3 months after he said it was an emergency. Now they're going to push it back an additional month. And they also decided that they would align the contractor deadline with the deadlines for both CMS, that's the medical, Medicaid and Medicare subsidies. That's how they're putting the pressure on the hospitals, by saying, we're not going to give you all that money. It's all about money. It's all about money. Do you notice that? Do you notice Trump supporters? When I say 599 days, I said it was about the money. The executive order that Trump did was about the money. It's always about the money. They use money to reward you. They use money to punish you. It is the carrot. It is the stick. It is the root of all evil, the love of it. And if you love your money enough, you'll do exactly what they say. Now is the time that we're going to be faced with grave decisions to say, do we love the money enough that we're going to do whatever they tell us to do? Inject the Kool-Aid, whatever. So they're moving all of these things back to January the 4th. At least for the contractors. I'm not sure. The military, no. The military, they're moving on with that. So they said, and I spent a good deal of time somewhere about 2 weeks ago talking about, maybe it was longer than that. It was after they came out with this statement saying they're going to run this through OSHA. And I said, well, you know, it's been a while now. It's been a month and we still haven't seen anything. Nothing's been put in the Federal Register. And what's going on with that? You know, I put in the executive order in the Federal Register for the military, for people who work directly for the federal government. He put one in for contractors. But the one that was going to run through OSHA, that's just now been published. And so we're saying, what is going on with that? And as I was talking about that, I went back through the procedures that are supposed to follow how an OSHA rule is created. Because this is not Schoolhouse Rock, and Schoolhouse Rock never did anything about how our government really works. I'm not a bill on Capitol Hill. No, they have rules that are crafted, by a few people at a bureaucracy, and then they get some of the quote unquote stakeholders in, people like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce or whatever, maybe some big unions, and they talk to them behind closed doors. They let the public comment on it. They pretend to care. And after a certain period of time, then they publish it, and then it has like another 60 to 90 days before it takes place and all this sort of thing. And so I said, look, this is all of the what is supposed to happen. And they're not doing any of this stuff. And I said, and it's because they're going to call it an emergency, and that's what they're doing. They say, we have the authority to act quickly. They don't have to wait. They don't have to get comments even. They don't have to do a study to try to justify this, even though it's going to be very, very disruptive. They are not required to justify this because they can call it an emergency, even though they're going to wait another 2 months to do it. So I said, they have the authority to act quickly in an emergency. Do they have the authority to act to wait? Is acting quickly because it's an emergency? Is that waiting for 4 months? I mean, I'm emphasizing this because this needs to be talked about. This is fundamentally, it's the basis of what they're doing is all predicated on it being an emergency, and yet everything that they are doing shows that they don't believe it's an emergency, whether you're looking at this or whether you're looking at their rule. They know it's not an emergency. So when the agency finds that workers are projected into grave danger, a new standard is necessary to protect them in an emergency. Well, it's not happening. The question, says CNN, they have a quote here from a spokesperson for Biden. The question that we always have and that we ask to the Republicans is, why are they getting in the way? Well, the question I always have for you is, why don't you obey the Constitution? Because the violations will include fines of up to nearly $14,000 per violation. One of the things that's really strange about this is that it is not exactly $14,000. It's like $13,652 or something. It's really weird like that. And then the $140,000 fine is like that as well. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy where they're coming up with it. They're not even round numbers, but they're excessive. And this is something that, again, is a violation of the Constitution. And it's another indication of how I have leaned on civil asset forfeiture. The idea that they could take your property, where did that come from? That came from Joe Biden. See, I've watched this guy for 50 years. I know what he is. He's just like Hillary Clinton. He's a very well-known entity. Joe Biden has nothing but contempt for individual liberty and contempt for the Constitution. He came up with this prevarication. It was in the Reagan administration that it happened, but he is very proud of the fact that he authored it and he pushed it and they went with what he wanted to do. And in civil asset forfeiture, they say, well, this isn't a crime because you violated a bureaucratic rule, not a law that was created by your elected representatives. So it's a civil violation. That also means that they don't have to, in their new rules that they've created, and this is just so cynical. I mean, you're being attacked by your government, right? But they say, well, it's not a law. It was a rule. That makes it civil, which means that we can do whatever we want. There's no presumption of innocence. There's no due process. We can hit you with excessive fines. And if you want to get it back, you have to sue us in court, in civil court. You have to do a civil lawsuit. And so we can take your property and not charge you with a crime. We can charge your property with a crime. And you have to sue us to get it back. You don't have any protection in a trial. If you don't have much money, no lawyer will be appointed for you. No. We'll just take it and run. And that's what all this stuff is doing now. So this is yet another example of how we've allowed our elected representatives to abdicate their power and how we've allowed this permanently entrenched bureaucracy to usurp power. And now it's come big time into our faces because we allowed this to happen for 50 years. We said, well, I don't like drugs, and I think that we ought to do anything that we can. You know, that the end justifies the means. I don't care if we can be authoritarian enough that we can stop people from destroying their lives with drugs, then we'll use any means possible with that. And of course, it didn't work, did it? Except what it did was it created a monster that is now being used, the monster of civil asset forfeiture and bureaucratic rule that we thought was going to save us from a scourge of drugs, is now being used to force us to inject stuff that is genetic code injection, toxins into our body. Imagine that. When you don't obey the rule of law, when you ignore the Constitution, when you adopt this, the end justifies the means, you wind up with those kinds of results. And so now $14,000 per violation. Now that is if it's not a willful violation. If they say, well, you deliberately thumbed your nose at my dictates, they'll take it up to $140,000. But they now want detailed information on each and every employee. And I talked back in August of 2020. I said, when we got the CDC sheets about how they're going to start rolling out the vaccines, they did that in August. I mean, they were already manufacturing and stockpiling these things, talking about how they're going to put it out even before they even started testing them. They didn't care about the test. That's why Trump threatened FDA head, said, you do it today, or you're fired. Had Mark Meadows do the same thing. And there was never an interest in terms of testing. The same as it was with the kids, as I pointed out yesterday. They approved a new blood clot medication for kids down to the age of five, as they were stockpiling these vaccines for kids down to the age of five, and their little needles and their little vials, the kiddie doses. They authorized this blood clot medication for this previously very, very rare condition, which is not rare anymore at all, of that particular, the venous thrombosis blood clots that are there. So they had this all planned, and in August of 2020, when I looked at what the CDC was getting, it had a lot of instructions that were very concerning about how these things had to be unfrozen, how they had to be diluted and prepared and used within a certain amount of time. It's like, oh, yeah, really? Okay. I can see a lot of medical practical issues with that being done by the people at retail. But the thing that I really wanted to focus everybody on was how much information they were getting, personal information they were getting from the people who were vaccinated. And I said, well, we have to have that because we don't want you mixing one vaccine with another. And now they're telling everybody, just mix them. They're all great. You know, every one of them is just 100% safe. So just mix them up. We don't care. They just want to kill you. Right? I mean, you don't. It's just flat out murder. I mean, it seriously is. It's insane. That's why I laugh at it. It's just absolutely insane. They don't even pretend to care about that anymore. But that was supposedly the reason that they had to get all this information about you, to make sure they contacted you again in 30 days and that they didn't mix these things together. But I said that was a fraud. I said, because look at this. There's one field down here that says refused. They don't need to have any of that information if I refused. They want to know who didn't get it for other reasons. And they wanted to know that from the very beginning, back in August of 2020. And now they want to know that again. And so they are going to have a lot of reporting requirements for these companies. If they don't do their paperwork properly, they could get fined $14,000 per employee. If they just decide that they're not going to obey a dictator, then they get a $140,000 fine. Enforcement and penalties will be monetary, they said. It'll be done via monetary penalties. As RT points out, the agency has given no indication that it will stop at large corporations. They said, quote, it needs, quote, additional time to assess the capacity of smaller employers to comply. See, they're not going to stop. I mean, under Trump, when they did the CARES Act and they were supposed to be channeling money out to the small businesses, which, again, more than 50% of it went to 5% of the biggest companies. But as they were supposedly going out to small businesses, they defined small businesses at the time as those who had fewer than 500 employees. And, of course, they changed it to 500 employees per location so we can get the big chains can get at the feet at the trough. But a definition of a small business was 500 employees. And now, as I said, you see that Biden is taking it down to 100. He's not concerned. Do you think that Biden is concerned about regulatory burdens on small employees? No, he's just doing this iteratively, gradually. And so they say they're going to need a little bit more time. This is what OSHA has said. We need a little bit more time, need additional time to assess the capacity of smaller employers to comply. And to that end, the agency is calling for recommendations when it comes to making the temporary mandate permanent, for expanding it to all sectors of the workforce, and implementing mask rules even for vaccinated employees. Hear that? They aren't giving up an inch. Everything that these people have taken from you, they are going to hold on to. They don't budge an inch. Oh, we forced the masks on them. Now let's get the vaccines. We'll promise them that they'll get freedom from the masks. And once they get the vaccine, they're even saying now, mandating rules, masking rules for vaccinated employees. This is a mark of the beast, a mark of the government system. As Phil Kirpin put out on Twitter, he said, well, you know what's out? Masks as a source control of the virus. What is in now is masks as punishment and social ostracism for choosing not to get a vaccine. But again, that's not actually true. They're going to be masking just as we see with the children, right? The children are the canaries in the coal mine, aren't they? They went to the children first to take away medical and religious exemptions in May of 2019. They got to get the shots, said Trump. And now these canaries in the coal mine, our children, are going to be used to show us that even after we get vaccinated, we will be wearing masks just like our children in these schools. Anything that the government touches, anything that the government runs, is going to be this way. And we need to run this government out. Whenever a government becomes abusive of our rights that are God-given, it is our right and our duty to alter or abolish this government. And I'm not talking about just Joe Biden. Don't personalize it. Don't make it about the Democrats. It is much broader than that. I constantly emphasize this with Trump and the Republicans about how they set this thing out. They didn't do anything. They cooperated with it to one degree or the other. Every single one of the governors, even DeSantis at the beginning, cooperated with this. So don't trust any of them. We need to, and they're not going to fix this. They're not going to give anything back, everything that they've taken from us. They are nailing a stake in the ground to it. The mandate's enforcement could spell disaster for the U.S. economy, says RT. You think? I think that's by design. OSHA's jurisdiction applies to industries as diverse as manufacturing, retail, delivery services, warehouses, meat packing, agriculture, construction, logging, maritime, healthcare. See, that was the point I was making the other day, that these people on Gab, who didn't bother to look at anything other than the headline, didn't understand. When China says, store up food for now, they're trying to create panic. They have created real problems in their country. The government has created those problems. And as I said, you had Stalin doing it with the Holodomor. You had Mao doing it with a great leap forward. And now we've got a great reset that is happening. They are creating these crises. They will starve people to death. And Biden will do it as well. All these people say, well, we don't get our food from China. It's like, are you seriously that stupid that you think that that's what this is about? Oh, we're good. We sell them food. Oh, you do? How are you going to make your food when they make it so that you can't even transport the food from the farm to the shelves? And we saw that last year already. You've already seen it. This is not a hypothetical. When Trump started going around waving the non-essential flag at everybody, people in his administration, and letting that happen, standing by as people were doing that, not defending us from that by any means. As that was happening, you saw people destroying food on the farm and while we had empty shelves. That's what government does. That's what Stalin did. That's what Mao did. That's what Trump did. That's what Biden is going to do. That's what these people do in order to establish their power. That's why I said that food rights bill that was in Maine, very, very important. I mean, ultimately, we just need to grow the food, and if they want to take it from us, that's the point where the fight begins. Yeah, it's a Concord and Lexington moment. But we don't have to ask for permission, but it's good to have these things there as a break on some of these people. I got this letter from a listener, William. He said, if the tyrants in D.C. have their way about things, there will be nowhere to run. Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, right? And he quotes from this order, the announcement also makes it clear that vaccine rules will preempt any state or local laws aimed at banning vaccine mandates or any other measures to limit the spread of COVID-19. Texas and Florida have been among the states. Actually, this is a quote. This is not from CNN, not from the order. But this is what this is a summary of what the Biden administration has been saying. Texas and Florida have been among the states that have been attempting to pass their own laws to restrict such mandates. See, that's not the default. The default position is not that that we elect a dictator every 4 years, and now we have a hierarchical structure where the states can't do anything to stop that dictator. That's the model that is being pushed to you by the Biden administration, by CNN, and by most of the mainstream media, including Fox News. We don't have a government like that. I don't see anything that looks even remotely like that. And we do not have to obey him. as I said, and I've got it pinned to the top of my social media accounts. I don't need an exemption. You need to show me the authority to force me to do this. I don't need to prove my religious sincerity to you. I don't need to prove to you my medical conditions that would keep me from wanting to have a heart attack, or to keep me from wanting to be paralyzed, or blood clots and strokes and things like that. I don't need to have a medical reason. It's just my informed consent. And I don't need to prove my religious sincerity to you, or have some kind of a religious litmus test. It wasn't that long ago that we had even the Republicans would come out and say, well, you ask these Supreme Court justices about their opinions and where they are morally and what church they go. That's a religious litmus test. We're not going to have that. Well, now they're putting a religious litmus test to everybody that says, I don't want to get the vaccine for religious reasons. This isn't America. Not anymore. We know what America looks like. That's why I talk about the Constitution, so that you see that this is not America. They go on to say, both OSHA and CMS are making it clear that the new rules preempt any inconsistent state or local laws, including laws that ban or limit an employer's authority to require vaccination, masks, or testing, said a fact sheet outlining the rules. So, you know, they figure that people haven't had time to read this 490-page regulation, so they graciously gave us an executive summary saying, all authority is invested in me now. I am your ruler, and I will have no one pushing back. Well, you know, it seems like I remember King George said that same thing, didn't he? He said, I'm the absolute dictator, and you'll do exactly what I say. Well, again, Concord and Lexington. Concord and Lexington. No king but Jesus. Certainly not Biden. So they're coming by January the 4th because, you know, it's an emergency. AP says Associated Press is just gushing in praise for Biden. This is the Biden administration's boldest move yet to persuade reluctant Americans to finally get a vaccine that's been widely available for months. Well, you know, AP, we know that. And you haven't been trying to persuade us. You've been threatening and bullying us, and this is just yet another attempt as the Biden administration has been threatening and bullying us. You have been lying to us with propaganda. So I said, and this is coming, this is a move towards ending a pandemic that has killed more than 750,000 Americans. Except that that's not the case now. All this stuff about flattening the curve, well, you know, the curve has been flattened, and it's actually declining, and they admit that. So you would think that if this is really about scoring political points, if they wanted you to like them, if they wanted to look good, if they wanted to win elections, they would just declare victory and move on, right? But it's never been about a pandemic. It's never been about public health. This is about shoving this into your arm and shoving it down your throat no matter what it takes. And no matter how much it hurts the economy, no matter how much it hurts the Democrat Party, they're going to go ahead with this 100% vaccination or prison. That's what they're headed for. I'm telling you, there is no other alternative in their minds or in the minds of the people who are cooperating with them and supporting them, like the Associated Press. They have a quote from Biden, while I would have preferred that the requirements not become necessary, too many people remain unvaccinated for us to get out of this pandemic for good. We are not amused. Get in line. The agency said that it will face enforcement challenges. Even counting help from the states, OSHA has only 1,850 inspectors, but I've covered this before as well. I said, these 1,850 inspectors have to oversee 130 million workers at 8 million workplaces. And so there were some articles that came out at the very beginning of this. Reason said, well, there's talking about these same numbers. I said, there's no way that they can actually do this. It would take them like 600 years or whatever the number was to go around and visit everybody. But it didn't take them long for them to come out and say, no, this is the mechanism that we're going to have. Now, the way the Associated Press puts it, they say the agency will respond to whistleblower complaints. Well, that's not even what OSHA said. They said, we will assume that, you know, people in the accounting department, there'll be somebody in the accounting department, or there'll be somebody in the human resources department that'll be a snitch, and they will notify us. And then at that point, we'll send our inspectors to do a detailed audit of that particular company. Once we find something, we will make an example out of them. So they're basically going to use the kind of Stasi model. They'll rely on snitches. They will probably financially incentivize the snitches, I'm telling you. This is all about, everything comes back to money. It all comes back to money and to the bankers. You see, if we didn't have the income tax system, there was never in the Constitution, it was never intended for the federal government to be able to directly tax citizens. There was a liberty reason for that. First of all, the federal government was a creature of the states, sovereign states, in the same way that the United Nations is a creature of sovereign states. And for the same reason that you do not want to have the United Nations directly taxing us, they get their money from the individual states that helped to create it and that are members of this association, and it is an association that they can withdraw from. We call that secession. Secession. So the states, if they did not approve of what the federal government was doing, they would withhold money from it. That's why it was essential for them to put the income tax in as a big part of control, controlling the money. And to be able to put in an army of 80,000 income tax people. Do you really think they're going to be coming after Bezos and Musk and all of these billionaires who don't pay any taxes, Warren Buffett? That, they're not putting in 80,000 IRS agents for that. They're putting these 80,000 IRS agents in because they're going to be the ones who are going to run this. It's not going to be the 1,850 inspectors that they have at OSHA. It's going to be the 80,000 IRS agents that they're going to use to do this. They're making it permanent. This is not an emergency. It's not temporary. They're making this permanent, and they're going to do it. They're going to enforce it through the IRS. They're going to enforce it through the banking system. It would be very easy for us to nullify this if we didn't have the IRS, if we didn't have the banking system. We just say, the state governors should say, well, no, not going to do that. And that'd be the end of it. Now it's going to be a move into Bitcoin, I think, is what's going to really have to happen to escape this banking system. And it's going to be a Spartacus moment, folks. We're going to stand up here against these Stasis, they'll be making examples out of people, and when they make examples out of those people, we need to treat them as heroes. Those businesses, those small businesses especially. I hope they do fundraising, and I hope they have local politicians as well as state people who will stand by them, but of course, they probably won't. It'll be up to the rest of us to stand by them in some way. So OSHA has drafted the rules under the emergency authority for another 2 months. Again, I'll keep mentioning that. And then the Associated Press loves to tell you about how Walmart, Tyson Foods, United Airlines have bullied and coerced their employees to get vaccinated, many more of them, but not all of them still. And interestingly enough, when they go to Walmart, they say that going back to July, they started requiring all workers at their headquarters and to requiring managers to do this. Again, this is always going to be iterative. And they would start with the people that they were not paying minimum wage to. And, you know, they still have not required it for minimum wage workers. Why? Because they're going to quit. They're going to quit. You're not going to have greeters. You're not going to have people to check you out or to stock the shelves. Well, that's okay because they got robots to check you out and they got robots to stock the shelves and they don't really need to greet you anymore, do they? Some companies have expressed fear that the vaccine hesitant workers might quit. Yeah, you think? Leaving their workforces even thinner in an already tight labor market, says AP. And other retail groups are worried that the requirement would disrupt their operations during the critical Christmas shopping period. That's what these meetings were about. It's like, yeah, I know, Joe, I know that you and the people running OSHA, you've never actually been out of government. You've never operated a business. You don't live in the real world, but here's how it happens in the real world. We make all of our money in the last quarter from Black Friday on. We don't want you messing this up. So, and people have such a short attention span. I mean, they'll shop this year as if nothing was going to change on January the 4th. So just move it, just right after the new year, so we can still have our Christmas season. And then listen to this. The Associated Press says the number of new infections in the U.S. is still falling from a summer surge, but the rate of decline has slowed in recent weeks. That's the best case they can make for an emergency. In other words, the curve has flattened. The curve has declined. But the rate of decline has slowed. They didn't say that it started to increase. It's turned up. No. It's not declining as quickly as it had in the past. And this is the same thing we saw from CNN, from the Washington Post, when they're talking about this emergency authorization to vaccinate kids at the age of 5. Well, you know, everything is plateauing or declining. No, it's declining. This is not an emergency. It's not a pandemic. They're just trying to buy a little bit of time as well to wait for cold season and flu season, because they can relabel all of those as a resurgence, you know, be the Omega strain or whatever. Cole Stevenson, a 34-year-old auto worker at the Ford truck plant in Dearborn, Michigan, said he's uncomfortable with the vaccine that was developed just a year ago, never tested. And they have a quote from him. He says, "It's getting pretty disgusting how the government thinks they can be involved in people's lives. If the whole thing is sort of cooling down and cases are lowering, then buzz off. Don't force it on people." That's the essence of this. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and take a look at some of the other things that are happening. In San Francisco, they're going to force vaccine passports for children at the age of 5. At the age of 5.
The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. thedavidknightshow.com.
Looking for better information? APSRadioNews.com features articles and commentary, along with audio from all the top news from around the world. APSRadioNews.com.
All right, let's talk about how this can be challenged. I'll just say one more thing about the rules that came out. I had a listener send to me something from the Department of Defense to contractors. And it's a very long document, and I appreciate him highlighting a couple of things that were of paramount importance. One of these is, and this affects a friend of mine who works for a company, and this, again, you don't have to be a defense contractor. It's just anybody who is a federal contractor. It doesn't have to be about defense at all. Anything that you sell to them, they will stop you unless you get the mark of the government, the mark of the beast. And so my friend, who hasn't been to an office, he's worked remotely for, I got a couple of friends like that, as a matter of fact. worked remotely for the last 5 or 6 years, and it's been about 3 years since he had a face-to-face with anybody, well before any of this stuff happened. And he said, they're starting to tell me that I've got to take tests and get vaccinated. Well, that is something that is not in the rule. They say that weekly testing for civilian employees will not include those who have telework or who work remotely. But it would include those who are medical or religious exemptions. So that is one thing. But I just have to say, and I will tell him when I see him, like, you may have temporarily dodged a bullet here, but we're going to hang together, hang separately on this, because this is only a temporary reprieve, and they're looking to make this permanent. This has nothing to do with emergency or a pandemic. This is a gradual, iterative process to disrupt society so they can establish their new society. And they will be coming back for more. Let's talk about what we do, several ways it could be vulnerable to legal challenges based on early analysis of this. Again, this is 490 pages that was just dropped, so nobody has the complete picture on this. But we do have some ideas. As Jacob Sullum at Reason said, the emergency temporary standard, that's the ETS that you'll see all the time. It's not an emergency, and it will not be temporary. They point that out. But the ETS was announced 2 months ago. So how much of an emergency? And then they said, on the basis of all this, they said the disease poses a grave danger to employees, and it says immediate action is necessary. So they're going to wait another 2 months. The language tracks the statutory requirements for the ETS, which bypasses the usual rulemaking process, allowing them to impose a regulation that will take effect immediately, except it's not going to take effect immediately. So you would... they're bypassing the rules so they can do this immediately because it's supposed to be an emergency, but they're not doing it immediately. They waited 2 months to negotiate with people, and then they're waiting another 2 months to implement it, so they're not doing it immediately. It is not an emergency. Employees who are working from home or others, they said, will not apply to. OSHA will allow some leeway in the use of face masks. They are not required, quote, when the employee is alone in a room with a floor-to-ceiling walls and a closed door, or while you're eating or drinking in the workplace, or for identification purposes, you know, because you cannot spread the disease under those circumstances. And then you can put your cloth bandana back on, because then you're safe, right? Employers have to determine the vaccination status of each and every employee. Again, I said this is what this is about. With the CDC regulations going back to August of 2020, it has now become explicit. That was not a conspiracy theory. It was just an observation that they want to know more than anything who is not vaccinated. And now they're going to have the employers keep these records on people. Because, you know, for the CDC, they're keeping those records that was going to be produced by healthcare, by hospitals. They want to know this about everybody. It's an iterative process. It's you know, they're blocking things off step by step for the mark of the beast. They want to maintain a roster of each employee's vaccination status. They must give employees up to 4 hours of paid time when they get their shots, plus reasonable time if they get sick to recover. But that's limited to 2 days. They give you 2 days. So, you know, hey, you know, if you can't walk after 2 days, tough. You're on the street. Businesses are required to make sure that unvaccinated workers are tested at least weekly or within 7 days of returning to work if away from the workplace for a week or longer. So, you know, hey, if you take a one-week vacation, you got to begin your vacation with a test so that you can come back a week later. Or if you take a two-week vacation, you got to take a test in the middle of your two-week vacation so you can return. This is insane. OSHA says the ETS, the Emergency Temporary Standard, does not require employers to pay for the testing. And that was the big negotiation. They pointed that out about 10 days ago. We talked about that. And it is $150 a week, as I pointed out, that they're going to dock you. So the company said, wait a minute, I don't want to pay for this. The reason that they made a big deal out of this is because it is so expensive. It's extremely expensive. And so these companies are saying, wait a minute, if I've got thousands of employees that don't want to do this and they've got an ironclad exemption with a religious exemption And you're telling me that the only way that I can keep them is if I test them, and you're going to make me pay for the test? No. I got to have them pay for the test. I mean, I've got a couple of thousand employees, and it's going to cost me $150 a week? Oh, well, you know, we're talking talking about big dollars here, right? We got $300,000 a week? No, not going to do that. We'll charge them $600 a month. We'll dock their pay, as I said, $3.75 an hour. Employers who adopt a mandatory vaccination policy can comply with the ETS if some employees are not actually vaccinated. OSHA allows the following exceptions. Quote, those for whom a vaccine is medically contraindicated, those for whom medical necessity requires a delay in vaccination, or those legally entitled to a reasonable accommodation under federal civil rights laws because they have a disability or sincerely held religious beliefs, practices, or observances that conflict with the vaccination requirement. It seems that those unvaccinated employees, writes Reason, don't have to wear masks or be tested each week, since those safeguards apply only to businesses that require employees to choose between vaccination and testing plus masking. Now, again, it's 490 pages. I don't know if he got that right or not, but if he got that right, in other words, if there's two classes of these, in other words, you've got businesses that require employees to choose between vaccination and testing, well, then they have to get tested every week. But if they're just requiring everybody to get vaccinated and they say, oh, yeah, but then according to law, you have these exemptions. If that's the way that he's reading that, if I'm reading what he's having to say, then that would bolster the cases of people who say, you're simply trying to punish me with this continuing testing and masking. You're trying to punish me because of my religious belief or because of my disability. And that is, I think, going to be a lot of people who are going to be making that argument, whether or not OSHA has put that into their rule. He thinks that they've actually put that into the rule here. He says, if so, a legal challenge could argue that OSHA is implicitly conceding that testing and masking of unvaccinated employees is not truly necessary. And the example that OSHA offers, they offer an example in their 490 pages. They have an example. They say, well, 5% of a company's employees, quote, are entitled to reasonable accommodation, unquote, in our example. So in terms of COVID-19 risk, that situation is indistinguishable from a workplace where 5% of employees simply choose not to be vaccinated. So the question is, if they really put that in there, and they've really got an example about that, is this mainly a bluff? Is this mainly a bluff? Is this mainly trying to give cover to employers who wanted to fire people anyway and replace you with machines or cheap foreign labor that they bring in? The vaccination exemptions allowed by OSHA do not include people who are resistant to COVID-19. In other words, natural immunity is not there. And they say this could be another basis for questioning the requirements. They completely ignore natural immunity, completely ignore it. The ETS also includes paperwork and reporting requirements, and employers must provide workers with information about the requirements of ETS. In other words, as you've seen these OSHA posters that all employers have to put up, you know, there's actually people who make a living selling you a package of government-mandated things that you got to post in the restroom or the cafeteria or whatever, and they do it based on state, because the state has its requirements and OSHA's got its requirements, and so they've got a business where they print up a package of all these things based on where you live so you can post them everywhere. So now here's another thing. So now these people got a new profit center, and these people are rejoicing who are profiting of this legal misery and bureaucratic tyranny. All right, great. We get to do a whole new revision of this stuff. We can sell the supplement. Anyway, you got to tell them key things, you know. You are protected against retaliation and discrimination by what? By being forced to wear a mask and be ostracized at work? Is that what they're saying? Laws that provide criminal penalties for knowingly supplying false statements or documentation. So, again, threatening you, right, if you give them false information. The agency estimates that the rule will save, now listen to this, here's another thing about the lie. I talked about how, first of all, they're going to dock your pay by $4 an hour, essentially, $3.75 an hour, making you pay for these tests. Now, this is not an emergency because they waited too much to even bother to write this. It took them 2 months to write this stuff and negotiate it. Now they're going to wait another 2 months. And now here's the third thing. They said this is necessary because it's going to save 6,500 workers' lives and prevent 250,000 hospitalizations over the course of the next 6 months. Now, how do they know this? Well, they don't know it. But let's just go with their figures. 6,500 workers are not going to die because of OSHA regulations over the next 6 months. So that's about 1,100 people a month. So because they waited 2 months to put this through, and because they're going to wait another 2 months to put it through, OSHA's just killed 4,400 people, according to their own estimation. But the other thing that we can look at from the number of people who died here, who they imagine will die, is the fact that it is far fewer people than have been reported killed by these vaccines immediately in the VAERS database. So in this emergency, when it's not an emergency, when the cases are declining, in the non-emergency, this emergency temporary standard, trying to save lives, they admit that it'll save far fewer lives than the vaccine will kill, has been reported to kill over that period of time. More than 1,100 people a month have been reported killed so far. So 490 pages. They put it in the Federal Registry today, published it finally. And then we get to the fines. The fines. It's really strange because they will fine you. It's a very odd amount of money that they fine you. The really big one, if it's a willful fine, is $136,532. And how many cents? I mean, do they take it down to two decimal points with it? What is going on with this? Why isn't it 130? Why isn't it 140? I mean, this is, most people say, well, charge you nearly $140,000. They round it up. No, it's exactly $136,532. Are they converting this into euros or something because this is coming from Davos? Where do they come up with these numbers? This is insane. And then, you know, the smaller fine, if you're not intentionally, willfully disobeying King Biden, the smaller fine is $13,653 for a single violation, for each single violation. Again, $13,653. Like I said, are they converting this over from, you know, the new currency that's going to be rolled out by the global government? Keep in mind that OSHA rule coming out is not a mandate for a vaccine, says a White House official. You see this? Biden is saying nobody has lost their jobs because of these vaccines. We've had thousands of employees who have gone to court. But Biden assures you that nobody's been fired because of this. And now the White House official says this is not a mandate for a vaccine. Not a mandate. I mean, I'm not making you get it. You have the option, if you don't want to get it, to pay $13,000, $14,000 or lose your job. I'm not mandating it. See, that's what they're saying. They will. If they say that a mandate is sending the troops to your front door armed with weapons to hold you down while they stick it in your arm, which is what Alan Dershowitz, the buddy of Donald Trump, co-pedophile lawyer, that's what he said. He said, yeah, I would support them dragging you out of house and sticking it in your arm. And we've seen that in Australia where you had a bunch of cops focused around one person. A couple of guys hold his arms back, another couple of guys, you know, one guy comes behind and puts a mask on him while they got cops on horses standing by. That's what these people are capable of doing. Also saw pictures of them physically slamming to the ground a woman, fighting her on the ground, wrestling with her on the ground. And after they subdued her, putting a mask on her. You don't think that they'll do what Alan Dershowitz wants them to do? Drag you out of your house and put the needle in your arm? That's what they're talking about when they say, Well, this isn't a mandate, but you wait. It's coming. Same thing we saw with this Mayor Pro Tem in Austin a few years ago, recovering their gun control rally. And there was one lone protester there who had a sign, we're not going to allow you to do gun confiscation. And the Mayor Pro Tem of Austin pointed to him and he said, we're not going to do that, but you keep that sign because it's coming. And they're not doing vaccine mandates, but you keep that in mind because that's coming. So this is not a mandate for a vaccine. Employers can put in a mandatory vaccination program, or they can do something else, or they can do testing or masks or things like that for other people. Don't get angry at us. We're just responding to this emergency pandemic. Mike Brown, Republican of Indiana, I don't know if that's Braun or Brown, says, now when we're finally at a kind of equilibrium, you're putting an ultimatum on them. Well, we're not even at an equilibrium. It's gone. Nobody believes this. We got 100,000 people in a football stadium not wearing masks. You got Biden not wearing masks. You got Don Lemon not wearing masks. Nobody believes this. Anyway, he says the mandate would be the biggest single disruptor in one fell swoop to the business community. The business community. See that? This is Republican talking. That's all they care about. They don't care about individuals. They don't care about individual liberty. What about those corporations that cut the big checks for me, right? This is going to be disruptive to the business community. Let's let the business community charge the people $600 a month to test them on a weekly basis. Yeah, that'll work. We can do that. But yes, it's going to be a disruptor. It's planned to be disruptive. It was planned to be iterative. And that, it's kind of interesting. You know, Breitbart picked up on this. Biden mandate makes the unvaccinated pay for their own COVID tests at least once a week, but they don't talk about the cost. And they don't talk about how much that's going to be per hour, right? And neither did Reason. Reason picked up on the cost. They said, well, it's going to be $150, but they didn't talk about how outrageous it is that you're going to charge somebody, you're going to dock their pay, $600 a month, $3.75 an hour, to punish them for not getting the Trump shot. The Trump shot. And then this is what, to give you an idea of how no help is coming from the Republicans, especially at the federal level, RNC chairwoman Rona McDaniel, she's like a niece or something of Mitt Romney. She says Joe Biden failed to shut down the virus like he promised. He couldn't do his job. It's not the job of the president to shut down a virus. The job of the president is to obey the Constitution, to defend the Constitution, and to defend our rights. Republicans don't even know what the job of the president is. She goes on to say, I'm pro-vaccine. But even though I'm pro-vaccine, the Biden administration does not have the authority to force hardworking Americans to choose between being vaccinated and providing for their families. I would like to see one, just one Republican who has the courage to not say, I'm pro-vaccine. I'm pro-Pfizer. I'm pro-Moderna. See the corporate sponsor on my patch on my sleeve? Do any of them, is there a single politician anywhere in Washington or around it that is not owned by big pharmaceutical companies and has to kowtow and bend the knee and beg them and say, well, you know, I don't really like this, even though I really love your product and it's great and we want to give you more money and we want to let you destroy society. I do not oppose your product at all. Please don't get mad at me. Yeah. Yeah, I want to get on Fox News again. I know they're paid for by the vaccine companies. Absolutely. They're all brought to you by Pfizer. Rona McDaniel is brought to you by Pfizer. Trump is brought to you by Pfizer. Abbott is brought to you by Pfizer. They're all brought to you by Pfizer. And now Pfizer and Moderna and Johnson & Johnson, the opioid epidemic people. Five-year-olds will soon have to show vaccine cards in San Francisco. This is in San Francisco where shoplifting is legal. You can go in and take $900 worth of stuff at a time out of any store, and there's nothing that anybody can do about it. And if they try to stop you, you can sue them for assault and battery. But a five-year-old can't go in without showing a vaccine passport. Now tell me that this country is not upside down. Tell me that we don't have an obsession for a mark of the government. Disruptive, iterative. And now as the five-year-olds have to have proof of COVID-19 vaccination to enter indoor public spaces like restaurants, entertainment venues, sporting events. You'll have no life unless you take the mark. As Information Liberation points out, as a reminder, San Francisco's state senator, Scott Wiener. Why do they always have these guys named Wiener? It's like Humas. They got Wieners all over the place, especially in San Francisco. State Senator Scott Wiener successfully led the charge 4 years ago to get California to decriminalize knowingly spreading HIV by claiming the state's laws making bug spreading a felony were, quote, homophobic and discriminatory. So the same people who said we're not going to allow any laws that stop us from deliberately spreading HIV, but we're going to have requirements for children down to the age of five to get any public to get into any public area. We'll have to show a vaccine passport, even though the vaccine has absolutely makes no difference for transmission. But these people are able to spread HIV if they want, because it'd be discriminatory against them. See how upside down this is? It's even worse than the shoplifting thing. It's discriminatory, writes Chris Minahan, Information Liberation. It's discriminatory to deny homosexuals the right to intentionally spread HIV to others, but denying healthy children who face zero risk the right to enter public accommodations if they don't have an experimental injection from big pharmaceutical companies. Angela Merkel is calling for the unvaccinated to be banned from public places. And, of course, they're doing that, the Christmas markets. They're not even waiting until after Christmas this year. So the famous Christmas markets that they have throughout many German towns, they're banning them left and right if you don't have a vaccine passport. It's spreading from one town to the other. In Saxony and Baden-Württemberg, they are putting up the system where only the vaccinated can go into spaces such as restaurants or football stadiums. In Switzerland, a restaurant has been closed and the owners arrested for refusing to enforce the vaccine passports. On Saturday, Swiss police arrested the owners of the restaurant for refusing to police customers. The police had closed the restaurant the day before. After repeated violations, they lined the entrance with concrete blocks. However, the manager returned on Saturday to open the restaurant. Even though they put concrete blocks out, he still opened up the restaurant in defiance, and so they arrested him. Over the weekend, the arrest became a rallying point for hundreds of protesters, including members of a group that they call the Cowbell Ringers in translation. Well, I think that's appropriate, right? Because the root word for vaccination came from the word for cow. So I guess we ring the bell as cows, right? If we're going to be part of the herd here, let's ring the bell. So yeah, vaccine is the Latin for cow, just like, you know, the word for virus came from poison. And as I pointed out, you know, if you look at the, saw this guy on a white horse and he was given a bow, well, that word is actually toxin, from which we get toxin. And he was given a crown. That word was corona. So I saw a rider on a white horse. He was given a toxin and corona. And he went forth conquering and to conquer with the pharmakia that these great men who have robbed the world will not repent of their murders. Pilot who lost his job for refusing COVID jab implores Canadians to fight for freedom now. And I talked on October the 28th last week. I talked to a pilot with a U.S. version of this, U.S. Freedom Flyers, and of course they were trying to bring in people, not just people from airline industry, but of course people who are going to ride buses or trains or anything, and it's eventually going to get to the cars as well. So they're saying, hey, passengers as well as anybody who works for any part of the airline, because they're going to try to shut down our transportation if we don't take this Trump Kool-Aid. This guy was recently fired from his job of 15 years, the major Canadian airline. He had worked as a pilot for 30 years. He said it's time for Canadians to have the fight for freedom now. We've got to gain public support for the unjabbed. He said this is going to a dark place. Oh, it is. It's going to a very dark place. And we need to wake up. The middle ground we have to help them understand where they are going. He said what they have done in terms of limiting our movement in this country is absolutely egregious, but it was a plan. They've been talking about this for decades. That was always part of this climate change agenda, to make sure that they would control what you eat, where you go, make sure you don't have a car, you live in a micro apartment. They take your energy usage down to zero. They take your freedom down to zero. That was always part of this. They always sought to limit your movement, to keep you confined into their smart cities. And the only question was exactly how are they going to do this? I mean, I looked at this and it's like, well, they're talking about what they want to do. And anybody who's read this, especially because most people did not believe that the sky was falling, they did not believe that, you know, we're going into global warming or a new ice age, because they tried both of those and then they just settled on climate change. They had been, their prophecies have been disproven so many times. I was thinking, how in the world are they going to do this without a major revolution? Well, you know, as soon as I saw the Chinese locking people in their apartments and spreading this fear, I knew that was the way they were going to do it. I knew it. And because I knew what they wanted to do. And they started doing it. It's like, that's how they're going to do it with a pandemic. Real or imagined, it doesn't really matter. The group, this Free to Fly group in Canada, is composed right now of 2,500 Canadian pilots, flight attendants, and air traffic controllers who are now out of work due to COVID jab mandates. Wait a minute. I thought Biden said nobody got kicked out. Yeah, everywhere. Not just here. In other countries as well. Italy as well. A couple of weeks ago, even though 10% of the people had not been vaccinated in Italy, they just said, that's it. You're not going to work anymore. Yeah, Biden will just lie to your face, because he's got the Washington Post, New York Times, all the media, ABC, CBS, NBC, and NPR. All of these people have his back. And that's all you see when he does a press conference. No questions, and he walks out, and you see his back. What we're about, talking about the Free to Fly organization in Canada, what we're about is the freedom of every Canadian coast to coast. I really try and encourage people that are like-minded to speak a little bit less about the vaccinations per se, and an awful lot more about the freedoms, broadly speaking. And again, you know, the vaccination versus unvaccination, they're focusing on that, and that does become a distraction. You know, because now, you know, this fear and loathing and this obsessive compulsive disorder that they have turned our countries into, that has become what people are pushing back and forth about, calling the unvaccinated Typhoid Marys, disease spreaders. You know, we're going to kill everybody. We're filthy. We need to be confined. And yet it blinds these people to every issue of liberty. And so I agree with him, but like I said, I cannot stand by while and be silent about this, even though that would be a better strategy, just to take this on based on the liberty aspect. I can't be silent when I see them hurting people. I mean, that's just like standing there and doing nothing while somebody's being beaten on the sidewalk in front of you. False hope is a dangerous thing, he said, so we're up against a pretty significant struggle here. There's a lot of conversation in the public sphere of solutions in the law, but what we are seeing on some levels is a breakdown of the rule of law. There's so much going on right now from a human rights standpoint that it's concerning. He said the legal piece is important. It's worth pursuing, and we are pursuing it. But the far more important piece is for every Canadian to get involved with this. There is a responsibility for every individual to get engaged on this. And let me just underscore that. We all know that the rule of law is being swept aside. Right, we've never seen the CDC, it's unprecedented that they would go in and claim that they have the authority to stop all evictions and moratoriums, for example. Trump let him get away with it. He let him extend it. Biden let him extend it several times. Kavanaugh, the Supreme Court, let them extend it. And that's just one example. This is happening everywhere. The idea that these people would be able to do these new and novel things, we don't have the rule of law anymore. We don't have any due process. We have dictatorships. We have a military, not a military, a medical dictatorship. It may become a military dictatorship, but right now it's a medical dictatorship. I was called out by the Daily Beast for saying that in March of 2020. That's going to be that it was a medical dictatorship. But as we see this, and we see the breakdown in the rule of law, and we see how the Supreme Court has been like a box of chocolates and you never know what you're going to get. They're unreliable in the best of times, but we're beyond the rule of law with all of this stuff. And so, yeah, you know, make your case. You may find an honest judge somewhere. That may slow them down a little bit, but this is not about law. Because the rule of law has been swept aside, we're not going to have a legal solution to this. You understand? It's going to come from us, each and every one of us. This is from, while we're talking about flyers, people in the airline industry. And again, I'm glad that they're waking up because we have seen this is the other shoe to drop from 9/11. They were right there together. As a matter of fact, the dark winter simulation was 2 months before 9/11. The false flag attack of the anthrax thing was a week after. And then 2 months after that, you had the Model State Health Emergency Powers Act, which became the template. And they practiced this dark winter simulation every year for 20 years. So the two of these things are connected in the same way that this agenda and all of the details of what they want to do are connected to the so-called climate emergency and crisis, like you see happening right now, COP26. So this is really connected to both the police state and surveillance and the removal of civil liberties in that regard. And then it is also connected to we're all going to die, so we've got to take everything away from you, climate agenda as well. It is the central issue, this fake pandemic. And they've always rolled these things out really through the airlines. So it's not surprising to see these people waking up. This is a person who is a flight attendant, works for Delta, said they're now stealing $70 a paycheck from us for a quote-unquote COVID surcharge if we're not vaccinated, or as he put it, if we refuse to take the poison. So that's $140 right there as a surcharge. Now, will Delta start to charge them for the tests as well? Because then we go up to $740 a month. They get docked. CEO of Delta is such a brain-dead, unethical, immoral, soulless, godless thief. That pretty much covers it. Probably a few other things we could say about him as well. That he actually thinks stealing $140 from the unjabbed will motivate us to take the death poison. Not today, not ever, he says, uppercase. I, however, have filed a class action lawsuit against these unconstitutional measures. At the end of the day, I, as well as many others at Delta, have refused the jab, refused their bribery. In the meantime, they can steal $140 out of my paycheck. It's worth that and more to keep the poison out of my body. Also, Delta and the government's rule of you taking the test for the fake virus every week starting September the 12th, if not jabbed. Yeah, most of us are not participating in that healthcare theater. Most managers are smart enough not to go down that road. He says, I've been flying since September the 12th. and I haven't tested once, and I don't ever plan on it. Oh, they send me computer-generated voicemail, email, text threats that I completely ignore, and I do not respond to. I refuse to participate in this game. So far, it's working as far as the testing goes, but the theft is real, and it's happening. And Delta's claim of 90 to 95% of the company being jabbed is a total lie. I just can't wait for the CEO to claim 100%. That way he can satisfy his globalist masters to stop stealing money out of our paychecks. This is from, and I wanted to read this because it really was heartwarming to get a letter from somebody saying that they had waited a very long time and they thought it wasn't going to be honored, but they did get their religious exemption. And they said, and it was because of this letter that was written. It was an excellent letter, and it covered a lot of things in detail. And the person who wrote that letter, and I said, it wasn't me. You know, I'm just passing this information on. I said the person who wrote that letter was an excellent letter, and it did get this guy an exemption, this other fellow an exemption. But he's the person who wrote this is in the Army. And I don't think he's going to get an exemption. And they're bragging about the fact they haven't given anybody any exemptions. But he wrote this, and he said, I saw the episode where the gentleman wrote in saying that he used it as a template and got an exemption. I nearly broke down in tears of joy when I heard that. He said, it is a hard road to stand against the Army on this, but I am still hanging in there and knowing that at least one person benefited from it keeps me going. Well, it did. It did. The court stops Louisiana's largest health care system from imposing COVID jab mandate on employees. But again, you know, try your exemptions. Try your lawsuits. You never know exactly how God is going to provide for you. And if it doesn't happen, God will provide for you in other ways. If you're doing this because of sincerely held religious beliefs, you can count on that. COVID didn't crash the healthcare system, says Alex Berenson, but the vaccine mandates might. Because it's all about public health, you say. Oh, well, it's not a toxic mix of ego and politics that has completely run off the rails despite the mountains of contrary evidence. Oh, yeah, it's all about public health, right? No, not at all. As a matter of fact, let me give you one other resource here. Brownstone.org has an article, 106 research studies that affirm naturally acquired immunity to COVID-19. They're documented, they're linked, and they're quoted in this article from Brownstone.org. Again, look this up, Brownstone.org. If you need to pursue that, this is a great resource. It's got all 106 of them. I'm not going to go through them and burden you with that. If that is something that you want to do, make sure you do that. Disgusting garbage is piling up in New York City. Never saw this coming, right? I talked about that last week when they said, you know, it was last Friday, I think it was, that was the deadline. And, you know, not just police officers, not just you know, two dozen fire stations shutting down because they don't have enough people, but also nobody's picking up the trash. And one local paper there, the Gothamist, quoted a Staten Island resident who said, quote, most of my neighbors work for the city, and they're supporting the sanitation workers. But if this continues, the situation is going to be unbearable. Well, I hope they're not going to blame the implied in that, in a sense, is the idea that the unvaccinated are responsible for this. They're not responsible for this. It is de Blasio who's responsible for this. He didn't have to do that. He could stop it at any moment. As a matter of fact, there's a new mayor coming to town, Eric Adams, mayor-elect. I don't expect this guy's going to be much different. However, he has promised to revisit the mandate and to negotiate with the unions. If this guy wanted to be a hero, if he's a smart politician, if he's just doing it out, even out of his own self-interest, you know, somebody who is a smart politician like Newt Gingrich, has made the statements, you know, you look to see where 80% of the people are, and that's where you want to be. In other words, you know, wet your finger, stick it in the wind, find out what people want, and give it to them. I mean, you know, if you don't have any principles, if you don't want to lead, at least do what the people want if you want self-preservation. He understands that, and maybe Eric Adams does as well. This is a chance for him to actually be a hero if he were to actually listen to people. By the way, speaking of garbage, you know, we had the statement by Biden when he came back to town after being gone on vacation for so long. And he was asked about this, and it's like it was news to him. Nobody had told him that they were going to give $450,000 to families who came, well, to each parent of a family that where they dragged the kids through a very dangerous crossing and came here illegally and then had the kids separated so they could vet them to see that they weren't being trafficked. And so now they get $1 million, just under it, right? And he was asked about that, and he said, that's absolute garbage. And then they had to take it back because nobody had told Biden what was going on. Here's what the person who is standing in for Jen Psaki, who's double vaccinated, masked, tested every day, but now she's out with COVID. So this is the person standing in for Jen Psaki now, trying to do damage control after actually trying to take out the garbage, right? That's not being taken out in New York, but they are trying to take the garbage out in Washington, D.C., the malarkey and the dog-faced pony lying from Joe Biden. Here's what she had to say.
The president is perfectly comfortable with the Department of Justice settling with the individuals and families who are currently in litigation with the U.S. government. You know, DOJ can obviously speak more to that process. The president was, what he was reacting to was the dollar figure that was mentioned, that you mentioned to him yesterday. As press accounts to date indicate, there's been press accounts on this, DOJ made clear to the plaintiffs that the reported figures are higher than anywhere that a settlement can land. Again, this is something that the Department of Justice can speak to. I do not have anything more to add to this.
So I can't tell you how much it's going to be. I can tell you that is not accurate, but I really can't say, because if I told you, you'd be really mad at me. Because, you know, all of this is happening at the same time that he is firing thousands of people just out of the Air Force. I mean, they're getting booted. You know, if you die in one of their wars, they give the family a death gratuity, they call it, $100,000. But these people who, you know, willingly drag their kids across a very dangerous area and child endangerment, they get $900,000. It might get you upset if you really knew what was going on, so they can't tell you. They're going to have to redact that, just like they redact the Pfizer contracts that Biden and Trump are a part of. So in the Air Force, they say a total of 800 people have now verbally refused, passed the deadline. And I love the way the headline here, thousands of active duty Air Force members missed the deadline for COVID shots. No, they didn't miss it. They didn't miss it. They knew about it. They refused to obey it. And good for them. Total of 800 just verbally refused, said, nope, not doing it. And he had 2,753 had not started the vaccination process. They're kind of passively, well, not sure what I'm going to do about it. But, you know, they didn't get in anybody's face. They just didn't do it. And 4,933 have pending religious exemptions. Walensky is now saying, well, after she had come out and said, we may need to update our definition of being fully vaxxed in the future. That was last month. Now she's saying, we're not examining changing the definition anytime at this point. So just be aware that, you know, until this emergency is over, January the 4th, we're still going to say that fully vaccinated is two shots for Moderna and Pfizer and one shot for Johnson & Johnson. But then after that, we'll take a look at it. To give you an idea of how some of these Republicans are reacting and why you cannot trust them even at the state level, South Dakota's Kristi Noem has just only talked about stopping the vaccine mandates for state workers. And she's not opposed to this on principle. She's not really opposed to this at all, frankly. And she has said, when it comes to the private employers, I can't dictate to a private business. Oh, yes, you can. If you had a private business that was, I don't know, defrauding people, what if they were ripping you off of phone calls? You wouldn't shut them down if they're robocalling people? I mean, that's what you're called to do. You don't get a pass to steal from people, to steal their liberty. You don't get a pass to deceive people, to coerce people because you're a corporation. That's not what a corporation is about, is it? And if it is, let's stop these corporations. Maybe that's what we should do. Stop corporations. They take on eternal life anyway. But anyway, so she said, I don't have the authority to do that. As they point out on RT, that has earned her scorn from the right, and I would say deservedly so. And one day before she announced her lawsuit against the Biden administration, why? Why? Oh, because, you know, they want to make the state employees take it, except that if you look at what she's doing, I don't even know what she's suing about. It's just virtue signaling. Because she has said, well, we're going to let people have a religious exemption or medical exemption, but they have to file for it or else they're going to have to get the vaccine. That's exactly what Biden is saying. She's just trying to pretend that there's a difference between her and Biden. But you had a group called Blue State Refugees. They represent Republican newcomers to South Dakota. And they are suing Kristi Noem for allegedly denying them permission to protest at the state capitol. So you see, she's not going to protect your rights anywhere. This isn't just by saying, well, I don't know what to do about it because this is private corporations that are stealing your rights and I don't think I can do anything at all to private corporations. No, she won't even allow people to protest at the state capitol. How is she different from Gretchen Whitmer? Seriously. I think people, yeah, she has stood in the gap and she hasn't come after people as much as Gretchen Whitmer, but I think that people like Noem, people like Greg Abbott, who pretend that they are on your side so they can stab you in the back, I think they are more dangerous in the long run than the Democrats are. I'm going to go into this real quickly because I want to get through some of this news before we get Gerald on, and I still have much to talk about. In the election results that we looked at over the last couple of days, there's a few things that we haven't talked about that I think are important. Again, I had mentioned it before the election that there was a constitutional amendment on the ballot in Texas to double down and to say that you will not shut down churches under any circumstances. You had some people saying, well, we don't need that because, you know, we've got the Constitution and we've got the Texas Constitution, we've got the U.S. Constitution with the First Amendment. They don't have the right to do that. Well, the problem is they did it. You had Greg Abbott back off of that after people started to have a problem with it. But they did it. So they think that they've got the ability to do that. They took that from people. They usurped that power that they did not have because of the law. And they need to be slapped down and told more firmly that they don't have that power and they should never do that again. And that's the way that we need to respond in all of these different areas, not just in this, but in all of these different areas. So I was glad to see it passed with 62.5% of the votes. By the way, only 9% of the people voted in this Texas election, because it was an off election. There wasn't any, you know, there's just some amendments. There was eight different amendments to the Constitution that were proposed. And so they had only 9% of the people showed up, and 62.4% of them said that we were going to prohibit the government shutting down churches or limiting religious services in any way. And they put that in the state constitution here. A pastor from a church in Houston, his name is John Greiner, his church is Glorious Way Church in Houston, said individual churches and people who go to church, quote, should be in charge of their own health care decisions and their own risks to reward behaviors. Well, that's absolutely true. That's true of everything, church or not. He said the church should be the place, though, where people go to get healed. There's a lot of churches, and some of them don't believe in healing. Well, they should be free to close if that's what they want to do, but I don't think that the government should impose that upon any group at all. On the other side, and again, you're going to find when you stand against this Antichrist system, and it is an Antichrist system because it opposes Christ, it opposes Christianity, so by definition it is Antichrist, right? You're going to find when you oppose this that your biggest opposition in many cases is going to be other churches. You know, when John MacArthur opened up in California in July of 2020, oh, he was criticized roundly by many of the people in his own denomination within Baptists. And Amanda Tyler, who is an executive director for an organization called the Baptist Joint Committee for Religious Liberty, opposed this. Wolf in sheep's clothing. Call yourself a Baptist Joint Committee for Religious Liberty and oppose religious liberty, right? That's what we're talking about here. She said the measure was overly broad and unnecessary. Where was she in 2020? She previously told Religious News Service, it sends, quote, a damaging message that religious people are more concerned about their special treatment than they are about the good of their communities. The good of their communities is in terms of honoring God and in terms of establishing individuals' liberties. That's what's good for the community. It's not loving your neighbor to put the chains on. It's not loving your neighbor to inject the Trump Kool-Aid. That's not loving your neighbor. Standing against that, even when your neighbor doesn't understand that, that's the loving act. And so I looked these people up. I'd never heard of them before. The Baptist Joint Committee for Religious Liberty. Well, they have been fighting to keep the Johnson so-called amendment. That's not an amendment. It was something LBJ got the IRS to put in to gag churches and threaten that they would not allow, if you spoke about politics, we'll take away the tax deduction from your members who contribute to you. So they want that. They also have opposed crosses in public spaces, this Joint Committee for Religious Liberty. They've also opposed school vouchers. They are a 501c3. They're not, by the way, affiliated with the Southern Baptists. There's a lot of different Baptist churches out there. And I don't know, they are connected to some Baptist denominations. Anyway, also in Texas, we had a judge ruled that religious businesses are exempt from LGBT bias claims. A for-profit business with a sincerely held religious belief has been held exempt now by a judge from a discrimination liability suit. This is a company in Fort Worth, Braidwood Management. It operates three Christian healthcare businesses in Katy, Texas. They are exempt from LGBT anti-discrimination protections. The judge said, this is what they do. They do not employ individuals, quote, who are engaged in homosexual behavior or gender non-conforming conduct of any sort, unquote. They do not recognize same-sex marriage or extend employee benefits to same-sex partners, and they enforce a sex-specific dress and grooming code according to court documents. Also included in this lawsuit is a religious nonprofit, the Bear Creek Bible Church, a non-denominational church in Keller, Texas. And they can fire or refuse to hire LGBT employees based on this decision in court. But, of course, that will be probably appealed. And then in Detroit, they have decided you got a court decision and you got a referendum adding a constitutional amendment to support religious liberty in Texas. In Detroit, they're passing race reparations and decriminalizing magic mushrooms. So choose where you live. Do you want to pitch your tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah? Do you want to be somewhere else? That's all I can say. Be careful of where you move. In New Jersey, one thing that came out of this guy, Ed Durr, who, he did not, by the way, did not spend $153, but he did spend less than $6,000. He spent more than that. And one of the interesting things is, it looks like he defeated the New Jersey State Senate President, Steve Sweeney, the second most powerful politician, Democrat, of course, in New Jersey. And the governor had a real squeaker there, or may have lost, and they may have padded it. And more about this in just a second. But The primary motivation, the reason I mention this again, the primary motivation, he said, was that he was denied a concealed carry permit when he applied to the local sheriff. In an interview, Ed Durr, who looks like he defeated the number two Democrat in New Jersey, he said, I went for my concealed carry and I was told flat out by the local sheriff, don't even bother. And he said, that kind of angered me. I'm a truck driver, and I've been to almost every military base running up and down the East Coast. I've been to the Pentagon. I've been to the CIA. I've never been arrested, and I couldn't get a concealed carry? Well, that angered me. So I started looking at what you can do to get into politics. Good. He considers himself, he said, to be a constitutional conservative. He said, just the constant nepotism and corruption that I see in government. Quote, if you take care of me, I'll take care of you deals. He said, you don't have to have evidence. You can't get anyone arrested or prove anything, but there's always where there's smoke, there's fire kind of statements. Well, he may not actually get to take office because he had about a 4% lead, which amounted to about a about 2,200 votes, 2,200 votes. And now this number two corrupt New Jersey Democrat, the president of the Senate, is refusing to concede. He said, we've just found 12,000 ballots in one county. That is astounding. And I would say absolutely unbelievable when you look at the vote totals that are there. So I guess, you know, about half of the votes, well, not half the votes. I think they were about 30,000 or so each. So maybe about one-fifth of the stuff that's there, they just found. They just found like another 20% of the votes. And it'll probably be all for him, won't it? We've seen this before. So I'll just give you one more letter before we take a quick break here. We've got Gerald is coming on the top of the hour. So we're about another 10 minutes or so. So I've got a little bit more time to talk about this. We had Republicans declaring victory on Long Island. This is something that is very unusual. That is not a Republican territory, but this is happening everywhere. And I read a letter to you from a person who, and I was very careful not to mention his name, not to mention the town or the state that he was from, I think, because I have so many people who, in the environment that we're working in, it's not necessarily that they're ashamed of what they're doing, but maybe they're just trying to, you know, get the next move set before they get kicked out by their employer. And so they don't want to, you know, show their hand publicly before that happens. But, you know, for whatever reason, I've gotten very cautious about putting anybody's names out there because I don't want to get anybody in any trouble. But I read the story because I thought it was excellent about a guy who has a long history being known in the community and volunteering in the community. He's retired as a state patrol officer, and they put his name on the ballot. I think he was encouraged by some people to do it. I don't have the original letter here in front of me, but he said he didn't really actively campaign for it. He didn't deny that he was running for it, but he didn't actively campaign. He was surprised to see that he actually came in second. And so he wrote a follow-up letter, and he said, it was a pleasant surprise to hear my written words read to you over the airwaves yesterday, read by you. He said, not only am I not ashamed of my association with you, but I'm openly listening to your broadcast as I put about my daily life, and I share it whenever possible. Allow me to clarify and put to rest any doubts you may have. My name is Jerry Shull. I am a Christian, proud, faithful, heterosexual husband, father, that homeschools his son, raises his own vegetables, hunts and processes his own meat, and makes independent decisions based on my own experience and biblical truth. I'm very open and honest with who I am and what I believe. I love everyone, but disapprove of sinful, stupid behavior, which I, too, am guilty. Yes, while I openly share the Word of God, I know that I'm an unworthy sinner, but I do my best. The intent of my original correspondence was to reinforce your statement that in order to defeat the continuing evil and the madness of society, we simply need to continue living our lives. Yep. Maintaining our vision for society. Peaceful, but on our own terms. Politicians and government cannot give us anything that is not already ours. All gifts flow through our Lord Jesus Christ. The dream is alive, Mr. Knight, and I insist you disclose my name and location so that others, apprehensive in living their best independent lives, may realize that they are not alone. In the words of Martin Luther as he stood before Emperor Charles V, here I stand, I can do no other. God help me. And that's signed Jerry Shull, Lamar, South Carolina. So thank you, Jerry, for standing and for not being ashamed. And that's the key thing, this social media thing and the employers of how did they get control of all the lovers of power to purge us out of society? We should have answered that question a long time ago because now it is only escalating. And I think the real appropriate anecdote to that is to stand up proudly, unashamed about what we're saying. And I think I have a lot more admiration for people who are not rich and famous that do that than I do for the rich and famous, even though it's good for them to do it as well. They will typically back down. We do not have to be ashamed of who we are or what we believe. This is what people need to be ashamed of. The Florida elementary school that took a class on a field trip to a bar needs to be ashamed, but they're not ashamed. It was a gay bar, but they defended it by saying that they wanted the kids to know about the community. It was a part of their education about the community. They said it's an example of how kids learn about a community. No, it's an example of homosexual grooming. Let's just call it what it is. You should not be taking kids to a bar, period. And when you take them to a homosexual bar, you are grooming them for a homosexual lifestyle. And again, this is Broward County. I talked about this the other day. And it was a member of the Broward County School Board. And she was so proud of what she had done. She was proud of her sin. And so she posted it on social media. And that's how it was determined. But after everybody pushed back against this, the governor of Florida has pushed back against it. People have criticized that. They see nothing wrong with this. Nothing wrong with this. They said the bar and restaurant was not open to the general public while students are present inside. When the business opened, students transitioned to a separate outside location to order and to eat their meals. The students order their meals from a student-friendly paper menu that has three child-friendly choices. Oh, well, you know, pizza, hot dogs. What would be the other thing that's on their child-friendly? They love children. They love children, yes. I would just ask this to them. They said, you know, as other people made the point, look, it's inappropriate to take a child to a bar, any type of bar. But as a school board member, they replied, I am committed to staying engaged with my community. My community. That's our community. I would just ask them this. Would this person who is so proud of them knowing about their community, would she support the kids being taken to a church building? I mean, you could do it while the church services are not happening, you know. Would she support that? You know the answer to that. Do I have to tell you the answer to that? Oh, yeah, you know, we got to that bar before they actually started serving the public, and then when they opened up to the public, we transitioned outside, and they gave them a child-friendly menu and all this sort of thing. Oh, they would have freaked out if you'd done the same thing with a church building that they did with a gay bar. We have a judge who has ordered a release of January 6th defendant. Listen to what was done to this guy that the judge found out. Following an impromptu inspection of the D.C. jail, a federal judge has ordered the release of a January the 6th defendant, Christopher Worrell, over mistreatment. The surprise inspection of the jail by U.S. Marshals took place last month, but the report from the inspection was not made public until Wednesday. Due to the findings, U.S. District Judge Royce Lamberth said he has, quote, zero confidence that the D.C. jail will provide the treatment correctly and not retaliate against Worrell, who has cancer. Lamberth called the jail conditions deplorable and beyond belief, and he ordered Worrell transferred immediately to another jail, then released to home to start cancer treatment. Some 400 prisoners are being moved out of the jail after the deplorable conditions were uncovered. According to CNN, even, the Marshal's report found that water was being shut off of many cells for punitive reasons for days at a time. Toilets were clogged, and an inmate who had been pepper sprayed was unable to wash the spray off for days, leading to an infection. I mean, we try to cut people's water off for days. You know, you can go for a long time without food and survive, but you can't go for more than a couple of days without water and survive. They're trying to kill these people. They pepper spray somebody and won't even allow him to wash off the pepper spray, and he gets a severe infection from that. This is torture, folks. This is what our government is capable of. And when you look at what they're capable of, and I've seen this with the communication management units and Marty Gottesfeld and what they're doing the same type of thing there as well. This is not simply about the January 6th thing. Yes, there is a political dimension to it. It's brutal. And when they politicize this, and that's why I talk about the CMU detainees, it is political. And same types of things were done to Ammon Bundy when he was held in prison. They severely injured his hip. The D.C. Department of Corrections staff were antagonizing detainees, said the judge, quote unquote, and directing detainees to not cooperate with the U.S. Marshals during the inspection, the agency said. And one Department of Corrections staffer was observed telling a detainee to stop snitching. So the judge blasted him and said, this is more than just inept and bureaucratic shuffling of papers. Does no one care? Does no one ever follow up? I find the civil rights of the defendant have been abused. I don't know if it's because he's a January the 6th defendant or not, but I find this matter should be referred to the Attorney General of the United States for a civil rights investigation into whether the D.C. Department of Corrections is violating the civil rights of January the 6th defendants in this and many other cases. You know what Merrick Garland is going to do with that, right? He's going to stick it in the file folder, the vertical file folder. Not going to do a thing about it. And, oh, by the way, neither will the GOP because they're afraid. They're intimidated. And they never have cared about individual liberty or the due process anyway. Yesterday I talked to do we have Gerald on the line yet? Oh, we do. Okay, good. I'll just say this real quickly as a follow-up to my interview yesterday. We have we talked about EMP. We talked about threats to the power grid. And I thought this was kind of interesting coming out the same day that I had that interview. An intelligence bulletin shows that back in July of 2020, they had a drone they believed was a plot to disrupt the electrical grid in Pennsylvania. They said that this drone was crashed atop a building. However, they thought it was there to disrupt operations by creating a short in order to damage transformers because it had thick copper wire attached to it. So that's kind of strange. It could be a low-tech approach to try to take down the power system, or it could be fear-mongering for expansion of a bureaucracy. Who knows? We'll be right back, and we'll talk to Gerald Slinty. Stay with us.
Has your news been censored, banned over and over again? Has vital information been held prisoner by mainstream and anti-social media? It's the duty of every thinking person to make the great escape to thedavidknightshow.com. There you'll find links to live streams, videos, audio podcasts, and support links. Live stream the show at DLive and Trovo every Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern. Videos at BitChute and YouTube. New audio podcast, The Real David Knight Show, at Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, iHeart, Spotify, and more. But even though there's a light at the end of the tunnel, Without your support, the show will run out of gas. The links to support the show are at thedavidknightshow.com. To donate via Subscribestar, donate via or donate via Cash App, Bitcoin, or P.O. Box. Our sincere thanks to all of you who have stood with us to get this far. Please don't forget to share the links and pray for the country as well as our family.
Elvis.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
And the sweet sounds of Motown. Find them on the Oldies channel at APSradio.com.
All right, and joining us now is Gerald Celendi, and you can find him at trendsresearch.com, and you can also find his excellent publication, Trends Journal, there as well. And we've got a lot of economic news and other things that he covers on a regular basis. You can get an online digital book format. You can view it that way as a subscriber, and that is an excellent way to go through and be able to find things, to search for things, as well as to have it indexed as a book. So it's got the best features of both of those things, and it is packed with information, published on a weekly basis. So you can see Trends Journal at trendsresearch.com. But right now we've got Gerald on the line with us, and I wanted to talk to him not only about the trends that he sees economically, but about this new mandate by Biden. And Gerald, I've been talking about the fact that it is not an emergency, because they've had this thing for 2 months. They've set on these regulations, and now they've pushed the deadline back, and they're saying that they've got to do this quickly and do it as an emergency, and they can bypass all of the usual requirements for putting together a regulation by calling it an emergency. And yet it isn't an emergency. And then the other thing, which is economic, I want to get your response to this, the fact that one of the things that was happening with this process of negotiation over the last 2 months, you had a lot of corporations going there and negotiating with the OMB and with OSHA about who was going to pay for these tests in case you don't get the vaccine. They're going to test you on a weekly basis. That turns out to be $150 a week. And they're going to require this to be done weekly. That means $600 a month, and they're going to push. They're going to let the employers push this on the employees, a $600 tax, essentially, if you're unvaccinated. Or you can look at it as a $3.75 per hour hit on your paycheck. What do you think about that?
Well, first of all, it's unconstitutional.
Yeah.
He has no right. We know. We're doing a podcast now every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern live. And, of course, you could get it later with Judge Andrew Napolitano.
Good, good. Yeah,
he's no longer with Fox. And so we're doing a podcast with him. And he's laid it out in detail about how this is totally unconstitutional. Biden has no right to do this. And they're basically making this crap up.
Mm-hmm.
And this is from CNBC yesterday. Several big business groups aren't happy with Biden's COVID vaccine mandate. And it goes on to say that that requirements will burden businesses during the busy holiday season, blah, 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 blah. Now, remember, this is from CNBC. This is CNBC Today. CNBC's Jim Cramer on Friday took comfort in a prediction by Dr. Scott Gottlieb. You know,
oh, yeah.
Using these words, doctor, that's profanity.
Yeah.
I'm sick and tired. Oh, doctor. Oh, doctor. Oh, honorable. Oh, a dignitary. Go screw yourself. How about Scott? Oh, no, I got a doctor degree. You got to call me doctor. This is the crap they shove down our throat, so we got to swallow their crap. Anyway, Gottlieb is the clown boy that used to be the head of the FDA and now is on the board of directors of Pfizer.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. You saw what Pfizer is making in profits.
Mm-hmm.
Was it $36 billion, $26 billion?
Yeah.
Billion.
Yeah.
And fat mouth Biden shooting off his BS. Yesterday, you know, you're getting this vaccine for free. It ain't for free.
Yeah.
You're stealing my tax dollars to give it to the drug dealers.
That's right.
So let's get this straight. But anyway, Dr. Gottlieb basically said, quote, the war is over. This is from Kramer. That's just incredible. Quote, by January 4th, this pandemic may well be over, at least as it relates to the United States, after we get through this Delta wave of infection, Gottlieb said on Squawk Box. We'll be in a more endemic phase. So now they're saying January 4th. They got the exact date, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because it's an emergency.
Crap up. January 4th, he gives the date. Now, the war is over. This is from the Trends Journal. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
March 30th, 2020. As reported in last week's Trends Journal, which would have been, you know, earlier, we detailed how across the globe and throughout the mainstream media, COVID-19 is referred to as a war against the people, thus giving political leaders the emergency powers to call out the troops. In the United States, for example, President Trump called the fight against COVID-19, quote, our big war. Last Friday, the president instructed Defense Secretary Mark Esper to be ready for a major call-up of the National Guard and Reserves, quote, this will allow us to mobilize medical disaster emergency response personnel to help wage our battle against the virus. Now, I'm going back to the quote that this guy Kramer said. He said, the war is over. So you see what they've done with this? They made it a war.
Oh, yeah.
And the people bought the BS, just like they marched off to Bush's wars, Clinton's wars. One war after another. Obama, the Nobel Peace of Crap Prize winners wars. They called it a war. And so now going back to what you began with, what they're doing, just like the wars were illegal, they are in violation of the Constitution that requires Congress to vote to go to war, which they have not done since World War II. The same thing with Biden's mandates. They are against the Constitution, but here's the bottom line, David. Shove that Constitution and the Bill of Rights up you know what. They don't count anymore in the dictatorship of America.
That's right. That's right. Yep, they're relics. And they are, what they show is that these people have absolutely no authority. And they also show a system that could work if we followed it, but it is a dead letter at this point. I've said this for the long time. They've gone, every country around the world has gone to war against its own people. And they've done it by beginning, as they typically do, Gerald, with economic sanctions. You know, this whole thing began with economic sanctions, trying to starve us out or a siege. And they keep escalating this. A year ago, it was economic sanctions against the middle-class businesses and Main Street, and then went after the landlords and people who were middle-class land, who had rental property and that type of thing, or commercial property. They went after them next. And now they're going after each and every one of us individually, and it's not going to end. I mean, they're pushing now vaccine passports for five-year-olds in San Francisco, where you can go in and steal whatever you want, but you can't have a five-year-old who goes into a bar without a vaccine passport. This is absolutely insane, but it is a war against every one of us.
Yep. Oh, by the way, as you know, you well know, we launched the Universal Church of Freedom, Peace, and Justice, and for people that join the church, we're providing vaccine religious exemptions. And I have to tell you, from the biggest company, and we're getting feedback, everybody can't believe it. This piece that we put together, we got one of the top constitutional lawyers to write also that not only is it a religious exemption because of what you believe in, and the God you believe in and divine spirit you believe in, and that you don't want to be vaccinated with an experimental gene therapy vaccination with, of course, the abortive cells, et cetera. But also It's a violation of our religious rights under the First Amendment. So that too is included with the religious exemption. Of course, we have one for international as well. We don't put that into it. But for people that want to find out more about it, the website, just imagine this. The website is Freedom, Peace, Justice.
Yeah.
That we were able to take out a website with the names Freedom, Peace, Justice shows you how unimportant that is.
Yeah, that's right.
To the American spirit.
That's right.
That thing should have been gone decades ago.
Yeah.
Oh, it should have been gone. Freedom, Peace, Justice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, they're looking at this, and now what they're saying is, they're ignoring religious exemptions in the military pretty much. But in other places, they've got a triple whammy. Because if they go against your religious beliefs, they're going against not only the First Amendment, but they're going against the Religious Freedom and Restoration Act, as well as the Civil Rights Act of 64? I can never remember which year it was. But anyway, they're going against a whole lot of different laws that are there. So they're just coming after it, in many cases, in a different way in order to harass people. And so what they're doing is saying, well, we can't give you religious... I'm breaking up.
I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me? All right, we may need to reestablish connection with him, Travis. Can you hear me now? I guess he can't hear me. Can you hang up and reestablish with him? So,
Yeah.
Oh, you got it now? Can you hear me? Okay, so we're going to reestablish connection with Gerald.
Yeah, I hear you now.
Okay, good. What I was saying was that they have a hard time with these religious exemptions, and they've admitted that they are pretty ironclad. So what they're trying to do is trip people up with questions about their sincerity or how long they've had it, or if there's, if they can identify that there's somebody that sounds like they have similar religious beliefs to yours. But the bottom line is that they're not allowed really to harass people or to set in judgment of anybody's religious beliefs. And that's the bottom line. That's a big part of religious liberty. We've kind of forgotten that because we've got this cancel mob everywhere that is trying to suppress everybody and to push their own values against people. But, you know, it's also the medical issues as well, Gerald. Do we still have them? Can you hear me?
Yep,
okay, good. All right, good. All right. It's also the medical issues and just the constitutional issues. You should not be. I mean, just look at the Americans with Disabilities Act. And I said the other day, this is as if we had, ignored the Americans with Disabilities Act. And we said, we have a company that says, well, no, I don't want to build a wheelchair ramp. I'm going to have stairs and I'm going to push somebody down the stairs. And, there's going to be a lot of opportunity, I think, for people to push back against this. I just talked about a case where somebody was fired because they didn't want to participate in an abortion. It took 5 years, but they won that case. I think these companies are going to have a lot of exposure to these lawsuits. But the biggest problem is we don't have the rule of law anymore in our country. We don't have the rule of law.
And going back to show you the hypocrisy, we have people all over the country using these vaccine religious exemptions. And we got one from someone in California, in L.A., and they're forcing the children to get vaccinated, as you know. But you know who they're giving exemptions to?
Who?
I'm not making this up. Migrants.
Oh, yeah.
Homeless. military. And there was one other. Homeless, migrants, military.
Are they giving military exemptions in California? Is that to National Guard or something? Because Yeah.
If your child, this is for kids that go to school.
Oh,
if you're homeless, foster. If you're a foster parent, or you live in a foster family.
Yeah,
they're giving them exemptions. I mean, they're making this crap up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well,
giving migrants exemptions for vaccinations.
Yeah, we just had Biden say nobody's gotten fired. Did you realize that, Gerald? Do you realize that nobody has been fired over this? Did you realize another member of the Biden administration said these are not mandates? Because they say it's not a mandate because we give you some outs on this. You can quit. So it's not a mandate. As I said earlier in the program, I guess a mandate is going to be when they have the armed guys show up and drag you out of your house like Alan Dershowitz wants them to do and stick the vaccine in your arm. I guess that'll be the mandate, forcing it on you that way. But they're cynically saying nobody has been forced. There's no mandates and nobody's lost their job. It's just absolutely amazing the way these people lie and the way the media will get behind them and support them.
Well, the media, they're prostitutes. I mean, look at all of the brought to you by Pfizer. I mean, on ABC, CBS, NBC, one after another.
Oh, yeah.
Look at all the drug ads they have on there. Again, morons and imbeciles call them big pharma. They're drug dealers.
That's right. That's right.
Does anybody understand what it is to deal with a drug dealer?
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. And
that's all they are. They're a criminal operation.
Yeah.
Look at how they're destroying people's lives. Oh, you have this ailment, that ailment. Oh, take this drug. Oh, and by the way, here are the side effects. Not one of these allotropic drugs that they sell on TV, brought to you by the slime ball, low-life piece of murderous crap, Bill Clinton, who allowed this to be on TV in 1997. They were permitted. They weren't allowed to do drug ads before.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of these allotropic drugs cures a chronic degenerative disease.
That's right.
And by the way, I have a honorary doctor from the National University of Health Sciences, the work I've done in complementary and integrative medicine. And the first book I worked on was called Natural Healing back in the 1980s. So natural healing doesn't count anymore. Nature, the hell with nature, science is the God. Nature is not a part of our lives anymore.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, you know, they lay the foundation for these things, and it takes a while for them to come. You're talking about how Clinton laid the foundation for big pharmaceutical companies to really take over media by allowing them to become the chief corporate sponsors. And at the same time in the Clinton administration, they got rid of the Glass-Steagall Act, which was put there to keep them from, getting in speculative investment. So they created this derivatives market. At the same time, the Clinton administration allowed them to begin these massive mergers that created the banks that were too big to fail about 10 years later. So it takes about 10, they lay the foundations for these types of things. It takes about a decade or two for it to kick in. We had the foundation for this pandemic, draconian measures, this medical dictatorship that was laid with a simulation of a false flag in 2001. They put all this stuff in and they gradually roll this out. And that's why it is so important for us to stand up. We're late in getting into this. I mean, this has been 599 days since we had that executive order on Friday the 13th, March 13th, 2020. We're late in getting into this, but we still have the vast majority of people who can stand up against this. And I'm encouraged to some degree because I think that people are starting to wake up finally to what is going on with this. I mean, this has been a long time running, and people have been completely scared about what is happening and not participating or pushing back against this. Finally, people are starting to see this happen. And I think that the selection that we had this last week was just a harbinger of that. I don't think the solutions are in state or federal government, but we have to stand up and live our lives from the grassroots up. I think that's the only way we're going to push back against this.
Well, on the elections, I mean, you know, this happens every midterm.
Yeah,
that's right. The guy that get, or every after everybody gets elected, they lie about what they said they were going to do. The people see the lies happening, and then they vote for the other party.
Rinse and repeat.
Yeah. I mean, again, you know, let's get this straight, everybody. It's fascism. It's the merger of corporate and state powers. That's the term that Mussolini gave it. The only way you get to run for office, you mentioned that truck driver, you know, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
The only way you get to run for office is having a lot of money behind you.
That's right. Yeah.
You get all that corporate money behind you, then you sell yourself out.
And
you know,
this
is a Democrat Republican.
I don't think
What a joke. Look at these low lives that are telling us what to do.
Yeah. I don't think that truck driver is going to make it anyway because they just discovered another 12,000 ballots. It was pretty predictable as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about what's going on with economics. You want to say some more about
One more thing, though. Mm-hmm. What I really want to One more thing in staying with this. This is the headline just came out. Europe is back at the epicenter of COVID-19, World Health Organization warns. Enough idiocy, Italian official tells anti-vaxxers. This is an AP story.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm mentioning this because we just heard this clown Gottlieb say it's going to be over on January 4th. And now they're ramping it up over there. They're locking down again in the Netherlands. They're locking down in other countries across Europe. Now they're putting frightening lockdown threats in Germany. So this ties back into the economy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So now, for example, Lufthansa came out. Oh, the profits. They got profits again. But again, you know, you get the magazine, the Trends Journal. Oh, yeah. They got profits. They laid off 30,000 people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know what their rate of they're making profits now.
Yeah.
Compared to 2019, they only have 62% less flights, less passenger capacity. They're down 62%, and they're showing profit. Big deal.
Yep.
That's why the equity markets are going up. They have no competition.
Mm-hmm.
There's the big, you mentioned it, the big zone everything, thanks to Bill Clinton and doing away with the, and all the others that did away with the Robinson-Papanak, Sherman Antitrust Act, Clayton Antitrust Act, to allow these monopolies to happen.
That's right.
So when you're looking at the equity markets, they're going up because they have no competition. There's no competition. As you mentioned earlier, they did away with all the small businesses when they declared the COVID war.
That's right.
And this is and when you're looking at the vax rates, you're looking at Spain over 80%, Portugal way over 80%, almost 90%. They're getting vaccinated all over the world.
Yeah.
Oh, and now the big fear, you ready for this? China. Pick up today's Wall Street Journal. China's locking down again. You know why? Surge in cases.
Yeah. Yeah.
1.4 billion people. You know how many cases? 56.
Yeah.
I'm not making this up.
I know.
The point that I'm making is we have become the Chinese way.
Yes.
China started the COVID war. They used it to lock down Hong Kong, which they could not stop the protests. I used to be on Hong Kong TV continually during the protests in 2019. And I'd be talking to the reporters and they say, we're not going to stop this fight, Mr. Salenti. There's 7.5 million people living in Hong Kong. A million people were taking to the streets. You can't get a million people in America with 332 million people. A million people were taking to the streets and the Chinese couldn't stop this. The COVID war broke out on Chinese Lunar New Year 2020, the year of the rat.
Yep, that's right.
And then we used to make fun of the Chinese for wearing these masks. We'd make fun of the Chinese for locking down cities.
Mm-hmm.
And now we did it. And now the Chinese are doing it again. This is complete government control over the people. And these aren't governments. These are murderous thieves.
That's right.
They're repulsivekins and dumbocrats. How stupid can people be? Hey, I'm Goldman Sachs. I'm JP Morgan Chase. I'm too big to fail. You are just a piece of crap. Give me all the money I need. Okay, sir. Hey, you're a non-essential piece of garbage. Close your business down. We got Walmarts that we got to open up.
Yes.
Get it in your head, everybody. Get it in your head. All we've become are plantation workers on the global plantation of slave India. Look at that black rock. Look at the other one, Vanguard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The other one, the State Street, whatever the name of it is, they own most of the stock markets. They own most of the companies.
That's right.
It's a total takeover.
That's right. They don't have to make
and
any profit.
And you know what about anger, by the way? St. Thomas Aquinas. Right? Any people that don't become angry at the proper time, he basically said are cowards.
That's right.
There's a time to get angry.
That's right.
When your life is on the line, you better get angry. I just had an incident. You've been to my place. I'm sitting outside last Sunday with a lovely woman having a cup of espresso. It was a nice day. And this guy comes, wringing his nose, chains all over him, a big guy. He starts, I want to go in there. We're sitting outside. I said, no, I'm sorry, it's a private office. I want to go in there. I said, it's a private office. He said, you are nothing but a racist, white, privileged piece of crap. I said, hey, man, take it easy. I don't want to hear this stuff. I'll take it easy. He wouldn't leave. I had to get up, and I got angry. And you know, I used to teach close combat, had my own school for many years. If you attack me, I'll kill you. I attacked the attacker, and I call this guy out. I had enough of your crap, and I'm screaming at the top of my lungs and using the language that the third grade teachers wouldn't like you to use. And this guy went away.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a time to get angry. When your life is on the line, you better get angry. All aboard. Next train to Auschwitz.
That's right. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely right. Yeah, I'll give you a story. I've mentioned this before. In North Carolina, signs up everywhere in the park, you know, if there's a bear coming at you or, you know, other predators coming at you, don't run away from them, right? You don't run away. You stand your ground, and I've seen the pictures now since then. I've seen people doing this to charging elephants in South Africa. Yeah, the elephant starts running at you. First of all, you probably don't have any chance if you don't scare him off, but you pull a bluff. You stand there and scream at him, and I've seen, people can find it on YouTube. You know, I've seen the elephant stop dead in its tracks, like, wait a minute, what's going on here? And so they point out, they said, you know, if you're going to have an animal gets aggressive with you, you yell and you scream at him. And if necessary, you throw some rocks at him. But the last thing you do is to run away. And we cannot run away from this charging elephant that is coming after us. It's very big. It's very intimidating. But we're dead if we try to run away from this thing. We cannot run away from this. Right. We have to stand up to it. We have to scream at it at the top of our lungs. It's exactly what you did to this other guy. We have to understand what these people are up to. And they've been laying this out. Gerald, you know, this last week, one of the stories that came out that I was most amazed about was how in December of 2019, they changed, in legal terms, they changed the definition of a vaccine in a document in 2019. This is a 700-plus page law that was supposedly about funding the government, and on page 500 and something, they went in and said, they previously said, a vaccine is this, this, and this, excluding synthesized polypeptides. And so in this, like page 550 of a 700-page funding bill, they put in there a little line that says, oh, by the way, we're going to remove this line that excludes synthesized polypeptides. Well, that's the mRNAs. And so they very subtly, in a way that didn't say we're going to make mRNA legal, they very subtly removed that, buried it in a bill. They've been plotting this thing for the longest time. They're not giving up on this. They're never going to give any of these things back. As a matter of fact, when they were talking about how they could extend this to small businesses, these mandates, they're taking suggestions at OSHA and OMB about how they can extend it to small businesses, about how they can make it permanent. And they're also talking about how they can continue to mask people after they're vaccinated. None of this stuff is going to be removed. They're not even going to take the masks off of the people who get jabbed with the Trump juice.
No, you're right. And then you're right. But they're doing it in Europe. Either vaccinated people have to wear masks now when they go back inside in a number of countries.
That's right. Well, they're already doing it to our kids. They're doing it to the kids in school. You know, you got Biden running around at his events, and nobody at his events wearing a mask. They're going to do that to the kids.
Oh. Well, it's all over. I mean, they all do it, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, it's only, again, all we are plantation workers. That's all.
That's right.
You know, and again, the big thing about this, as you mentioned, it's not going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And so going back to the economy, the more mandates they put on, And you say the more restrictions they have, the less business is going to be. I can't go. I'm supposed to go do a gig in a keynote speaker in Vancouver in January. I can't go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know.
Because I won't get vaccinated.
Yeah.
And by the way, you know, I have all these rallies all the time and all these, you know, hundreds of people keep coming.
Yeah.
I died from, you know, from having them all there.
That's right. Yeah.
You know that. This isn't me. Everybody there died.
That's right. Well, they even had, I think it was NBC that called out Fauci. They said, you know, what's going on? You got 100,000 people rushing in onto the field there at the football game in Texas. You said it was going to be a super spreader event. Never happened. They're not even trying to pretend that anymore. They've told us that the Sturgis rallies were going to kill everybody. Didn't kill anybody. And now you see it happening everywhere with all the sporting events, but they still keep this going, and they're not going to pull it back. I mean, they're still kicking out professional athletes who don't get this. So we're going to have to all right, and I think we're back. We lost power. Are we back now, Travis? We lost power momentarily, and part of the reason that happened is I guess we have moved the studio recently, and we didn't get our uninterruptible power supply out here, so we had our power supply interrupted. We're going to try to reestablish contact with Gerald. We were talking about crypto. I've got some other questions for him as well in terms of what is happening with commercial real estate. Not just gold and silver and crypto, but also commercial real estate. Got a very interesting article at Trends Journal about Hertz going all in on electric vehicles. I guess these are going to be the Tesla cars, and they're going to have them enabled with self-driving capabilities. So I guess they're going to change their ad slogan from let Hertz put you in the driver's seat to let Hertz take you out of the driver's seat, because this is the path. They don't want people to have cars. They want people to rent cars. So this is an important move, I think, for Hertz, because this is all going to be about rental. The business model of the elites, of the corporate elites, is to rent you everything. Not just cars, but they want you to own nothing. That means that you rent everything from them, that you take whatever they happen to hand you. So we're going to reestablish contact with Gerald. In the meantime, I wanted to talk about this anyway, the fact that you've now got the FAA talking about 5G. They say that they're concerned. They want to delay it a little bit here in the U.S. because they think that it's going to interfere with air traffic control, with aircraft. They said that there's one particular spectrum, because 5G goes across a large band of frequencies, and the C-band frequencies, they said, that offer a very good speed that many people have paid a lot of money for in the auctions, auctioning off bandwidth. They said that they're concerned that these particular frequencies are going to create interference with air traffic control. They said, while corporations doled out a combined $70 billion to get access to the C-band in an auction earlier this year, the aviation industry has protested its use, arguing that major disruptions to the use of the national airspace system can be expected should the providers get that bandwidth for their 5G. And the reason I think that this is interesting is, first of all, because they don't really care whether it disrupts your body. They're going to rush into this thing. They're rushing into it so much that they didn't even pay attention to whether or not it was going to disrupt air traffic control or aviation. They certainly don't care if it's going. They didn't even bother to look at that. They didn't bother to test that. And, of course, they haven't bothered to test the physical aspects of 5G disruption to you either. But I think it's also interesting in what it tells us about the superstitions and the ability of them to control people. We've had since 9/11 this idea that you can't use your cell phone, and they gradually started to move away from that. Now, I knew that that was total nonsense from the very beginning. How would I know that without even knowing what frequencies the two things were operating on? You know that it's not interfering with it, because if it was interfering with it, you'd never be able to get the planes off the ground. There's a lot more interference when the planes are taxing around the runway, when they're taking off, when they're at a low level. They're getting a lot more radiation from the cell phone towers, from people using them, than they are from the people right there in the plane. So you know that that's not happening. Why would they do that? I think a big reason why they did that was to try to continue to sell one of these key lies about 9/11, that you had Olson, who was the lawyer for Bush, Ken Olson, who helped him to win the Hanging Chad stories. Supposedly, in the plane that crashed into the Pentagon, for which there's no video anywhere, not any video from the Pentagon. There's no video from the neighboring businesses because they went around and confiscated any footage that they might have had. So there's no footage at all of that. And so they wanted you to believe that his wife actually called him. He was flying around. So you try that next time you get on the phone. And I used to always do that. I would always try to make a call when, you know, he'd not too long after we'd taken off. So we weren't too high. And I would always leave my phone on. And we never had a plane crash, certainly not into the Pentagon either. I think we got Gerald back. Gerald, are you there? Can you hear me? No, we don't have him, I guess. Okay, we do? Do we have Gerald? We're having a lot of problems today with both data and with power supply. Are you there, Gerald?
I'm here.
Okay, I'm
sorry.
You're
still breaking up. I don't know how I sound.
Yeah, I've got you. You're good. Yeah, we're having a lot of problems with data today, and we did have a power glitch that's here, so I'm not really sure what's happening. But we'll try to finish this up. You were just talking about Bitcoin when we lost power.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not going away again until the government stops it. Mm-hmm. And they're going to stop it when they go digital.
Yep. Yep.
When they, because they're going to get rid of dollars and dimes and this thing that Zuckerberg is doing, this Meta. You know, as much as I can't stand this guy, he's right on target.
Yeah.
This is where the whole world is going like this. This is the 20, you know, you look at going back to the Industrial Revolution, how the Luddites try to fight it because it was destroying the individuality and creativity of the individual. And now it's gone from the industrial age to the digital age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's a continuing decline of humanity.
Let me ask you, you know, is there anything that we can do? Is there anything that we can do to push back against this consolidation? The problem I see is that if we try to use government to do this, as has been said, any government that can give you everything that you want is big enough to take everything from you. We know what they will do if we empower them to try to use them against this. What is the appropriate way to push back against this, in your opinion? Did we lose Gerald again? Well, we're having a lot of problems with things. Maybe what we do is just contact. Yeah. Oh, you got it? Okay. Can you hear me?
Hear me there?
Yeah, got you now. Okay.
Yeah, can you?
We'll give it a try.
Okay.
Yeah, we're having a lot of problems today. I don't know why we're having so many problems. Go ahead.
The only way I see it changing is a renaissance.
Mm-hmm.
Alla Romana alla Antica. In the manner of the Romans and the ancients, so what they described to create the creativity, they were making the, whether it was the art of any form, they brought it back to the greatness of the past. And that's, to me, what we have to do. There are two things. Number one, we have to become a self-sustaining economy. That's first of all, to bring back the foundation of the country. The new trade data just came in. Another record-breaking trade deficit. Trump did a great job with that, boy. Wow, he really stopped those Chinese. Number two, a renaissance, to me, actually is number one. And that is to recreate the beauty, joy, and elegance of the human spirit that's been sucked out of us by the tech age. You know, you and I are old enough to remember this. Once upon a time, used to have a thing called musicians.
Oh, yeah.
Used to have to know how to play the instruments. Mm-hmm. And it came from their heart, their body, their sweat, their soul, their passion, their feelings. Now it's digital.
That's right.
Dead. The music is dead. How many times do I have to hear that same stupid beat? Boom, 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 boom. All right, take it easy. So going back to a renaissance to me is the only way it will change.
Yes.
And what did the renaissance follow? The Black Death.
Yeah.
They realized that in Europe, boy, what we're doing is really stupid and it's killing us.
Well,
let's go back to when it was better than it is now.
Yeah, that's right.
So to me, the only thing is a renaissance. And by the way, what I'm working on with the donations that we're getting from the church, we're putting together, and we're looking for musicians, by the way, and anybody that is a great musician and appreciates the greatness of the past, you know, the Count Basies, the Duke Ellingtons, the Smiley Lewis, the Red Prize Sox, the great jazz cats of the past, the Ella Fitzgeralds. And I put on a concert, by the way, with Ella Fitzgerald one time. And took over the whole the convention center in Atlanta.
That's cool.
I did one with Dionne Warwick.
And over it was live. It wasn't Memorex, right, at the time.
Yeah. But anyway, so music is the great communicator.
Yeah.
The facts that you and I are talking about, we hit that many people.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do with music. So the money that we're getting from the church, we want to put together the Universal Church of Freedom, Peace, and Justice Gospel Singers, bringing out the message in a different way. So we're looking for real great musicians, young people that have the talent and really have the appreciation. Music, jazz was America's greatest export. They used to call Louis Armstrong the ambassador of goodwill during the Cold War.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, and it was a melting pot. You know, it was great because it brought in all of these different influences. And I saw the same thing happen, you know, by the time I got involved in music and was playing in the 1970s, what was a real renaissance there was the fact that they had a synthesis of all different types of styles. You would have a jazz fusion where they would bring rock and jazz together, or you would have, you know, the prog rock where they would bring in classical aspects and rock. And so you had all these different connections, and there was an explosion in the kinds of instruments that were there. And then all of a sudden it just stopped. And everything just went mechanical. Part of that was MTV. But I agree with you. I think there has to be we're dying, I think, inside of us. And I think a big part of that is a spiritual aspect. And, you know, we talk about the Renaissance. It was also the Reformation. The Reformation was a spiritual awakening, whereas the Renaissance was kind of an intellectual awakening. There has to be that spiritual connection. We have not only died on the inside from losing the appreciation of beauty, we've also died on the inside from losing the appreciation of God and purging him out of society. And if we don't bring that back, that's a real built into that is the it sows the consequences that are going to come from that. But because I believe that God is, and I know that God is real, I think there is also a very real component of that. That comes directly as an act of judgment on a society. And when we look at how upside down our society has become, it is unsustainable. Unsustainable. Again, we're going to start requiring identification passports for five-year-olds who have absolutely no risk from this, and we're going to let thieves go in and take $1,000, $900 at a time out of the stores, even putting out the big box retailers. It's absolutely insane what this country has come to. And if we don't have a readjustment and a reevaluation, and you talk about it coming after the Black Death, you know, Gerald, I think we've had an opportunity as these things are being removed away from us. And I think it's a real blessing from God as we have these things removed away from us. We have to sit there and we have to rethink what is important in life. And I think that something good is going to come out of this, just as it's necessary to have a fire remove things for the forest to grow. In many cases, I think that's what we're going to see.
Yeah, again, as I also see it, that's why that's why I formed this church, is that we have to unite on the one umbrella. We divide, united we stand, divided we fall. And if we don't unite as I see it, then, you know, we're not going to win. And you mentioned about government. I mean, you know, it just, I forgot how you said it, but you said it perfectly. About how,
well, it's lost its purpose.
And, you know, they give you whatever they do. They play both sides of the card.
That's right. They've lost their purpose. You know, they don't. The founders of this country had a very clear understanding of the purpose of government. It was to protect our God-given liberties. And when they become destructive of that, which is what our government has become, you know, it's our right and duty to alter or to abolish that. We don't really have. What is the purpose of government? You know, you have even the head of the RNC, Rona McDaniels, saying, well, you know, Biden was supposed to keep us safe and he hasn't done a good job of that. That's not the purpose of government. If we think the purpose of government is to keep us safe and to keep us alive, we're going to just be vulnerable to every kind of protection racket because that's what it's become. It's been that way for a long time. Are you still there? Did we lose him? I think. Okay, you're good. Are you there?
Yep.
Are you still there? Okay, good. Yep. Yeah, we're still having problems with losing it. But yeah, we're still there. Can you hear me?
I'm here. Yep.
Okay, good. So as we look at this real quickly, some economic issues that are there. We've got, you got an article, natural gas prices have fallen a bit in Europe, but that isn't really the main news. That's the headline, but the main news is it's up by a factor of 5 times higher than last year. We've got all kinds of problems
that are
going to be coming in this next year. I think it's going to be a tough year, not just because of January the 4th, but because they have built in so much destruction into everything they've done has destroyed our infrastructure. And when you look at gas prices or you look at the fundamentals of electricity or even fuel, are we going to be able to keep the supply chains going? I mean, what do you see happening with this? It's just getting worse and worse all the time.
Well, let's go to supply chains. Why do we have them? There used to be a thing made in America.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Why? Yeah, I mean, does anybody talk about that? What do you mean, right? Supply chains? How come? Who cares? I mean, how come we're not making what we could be making? And so that's the real issue. Again, to me, the only way to us as a country to survive is to become self-sustaining. We have all the human and natural resources we don't need. The only thing I want to bring in from other countries is give me that great Montepulciano that I get from Italy, you know? Yeah, or that great French wine that I love so much, or some real prosciutto. Yeah, let me bring that in.
Yeah, but there's no balance in trade.
If I want to buy, you know.
Yeah, there's no balance in trade. We're buying everything, you know, and we're not making anything.
To buy all this other stuff, it's ridiculous.
That's right.
All the toys that are being made, one thing after another.
That's right. Yeah, we got to have to start making some of the things ourselves, and that especially, I think, includes food. Even though we have, and I talked about the fact that China sent out a notice, panicked a lot of people there, saying you better stock up on food for the winter. And as I talked about that, some people said responded on social media and said, "Well, we don't buy food from China that much. They buy food from us." And it's like, "Well, okay, but how are you going to get the parts to run the tractors if you're depending on China to get the parts to keep the tractors running, or if you're looking at a situation where you've got to be able, even in the U.S., we've got to be able to transport the stuff the way the system is set up, unless we start going back and creating the means to produce the food locally and to process the food locally and to start eating what is locally grown. If we don't do that, we really are dead because they're going to be shutting down transportation of everything. That's by design, isn't it? Did we lose Gerald again? I think we've...
Yep.
Okay.
I'm here.
Okay, good. Go ahead. Go ahead.
All right. On the food, Smithfield, biggest pork producer.
That's right.
Owned by China.
That's right.
The other Brazilian companies own the foreign companies own the biggest producers in sectors of this the industry, the food industry. Again, the inflation is real. They said it was going to be temporary. Then it's transitory. And the Federal Reserve came out and they're not going to raise interest rates. So they're going to keep the Ponzi scheme going.
Yep.
And it's as simple as that. When they raise interest rates, when the Fed rate gets to about 1.5%, we're in a crash like we've never had before. As long as they keep interest rates low and keep pumping out that monetary methadone for the money junkies, things are going to keep going. It's as simple as that. They just keep pumping cheap money in. But again, the bigs are getting bigger because they're using that cheap money to buy out everybody.
That's right.
So at some point it's going to crash, but I don't, you know, they're drug dealers, money junkies. They're going to do everything they can to keep it going.
That's right. Yeah, they started tapering, which means that they're just not subsidizing, you know, pumping out as much cash as they did. But they're leaving the interest rates super low. They're still pumping out a lot of cash. So nothing really is changing on that. But it's going to be a very challenging time because it's not as if they threw a bunch of monkey wrenches in a year or so ago and just left it. They did that. But they continue to throw one monkey wrench after the other, and they're throwing bigger and bigger wrenches. And these vaccine mandates that Biden is putting out that he claims aren't mandates, that he claims aren't taking people's jobs, are going to be causing people to lose their jobs, to lose a significant amount of their income, you know, taking a big hit on the hourly wages. We're close to the end. Thank you, Gerald, for coming on. I apologize for all the problems. Apologize to you in the audience. So we got some power issues here. Obviously, we're having some data issues as well. But thank you so much. It's always great to talk to you. Always great as usual. And we'll be talking to you in a couple of weeks, I hope.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much. And remember, it's trendsjournal.com for the magazine and Freedom, Peace, Justice for the religious exemption.
Yes, yes. Trendsresearch.com, Gerald Celente, always ahead on the trends. Thank you so much, Gerald, and thank you all of you for listening. Have a good weekend. That's it for today's program. Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. TheDavidKnightShow.com.